Hi, I'm Liam O'Rourke, and all you've got to do for our show this week is come up with something better than Steve Austin pissing on Arn Anderson, Tommy Dreamer eating his own vomit, and Hulk Hogan world title matches. And to think, some of this stuff actually did double the ratings of this week's Raw.
I'm Kieran O'Rourke, and for this week's Kieran Wants to Know segment, Kieran wants to know, where is the line drawn between good preparation and grooming? Answers to at Wrestling Prophet at Twitter. Thank you.
I'm G. John Chase, and to be honest, 2002 was a pretty big year for me. Started hanging out with people from the same social circle as myself, and to start feeling comfortable in my own skin. 2002 was the year that I came out as a wrestling fan. What do you think I was talking about?
And I'm Carl Jones, the original funky white boy, the original Punjabi playboy, and contrary to what El Dandy claims, I am the first person that Bret Hart ever referred to as a jam-up guy.
This is the panel for the 57th Squared Circle Gazette Radio, and you can hear us try and fix the WWF in April of 2002. Next. Hello everyone and welcome to the 57th Squared Circle Gazette Radio. I am Liam O'Rourke alongside Kieran O'Rourke.
Evening all.
G. John Chase.
I'm back.
And Old Man Jones.
I'm back on the wagon.
And we are back today for what is the second of our shows in a booking committee format. It's going to be an interesting one today, this time tackling fixing the WWF from April of 2002. It's going to be a fun one, gentlemen, a challenging one, certainly. We have done this format once before in our show attempting to save WCW in October of 99, which you can go back and listen to, for those of you listening for the first time, at squaredcirclegazette.com. It's going to be a fun one, though, because there's so many things about this period of time that are just fascinating to me, that the car crash element of what actually happened for the first 3 months of the brand extension, where they just kept chopping and changing the direction, especially on Raw. It's gonna be interesting. The WWF was in a very kind of odd position during this period of time, a bit of a state of flux. So they were looking for anything. They were grasping at straws. And before we get into the details, a very quick thoughts. Anybody want to jump in about what an undertaking this is?
Yeah, I must admit, it wasn't until I thinking back to this time frame, and I remember acutely just how awful I thought Raw in particular was at the time. But it wasn't until you sent the roster in full through to us all that I looked at the names on the list and thought, sweet Jesus, there is so much dross in here. and it's a knock-on effect from their sort of short-term outlook, if you like, post the invasion angle, which they'd made a complete mess of in the first instance. But following on from that, you know, they bring in Flair, who, you know, wonderful performer that he is. It's going back to something. Hogan, Hall and Nash as the NWO, going back to something. The Royal Rumble, where you're bringing, you know, say Goldust back or Mr. Perfect back. All these names from yesteryear, which may still have a use on the roster, but you're not really replenishing the roster and setting a sort of a clear direction forward. And it sort of all comes to a head, I think, post WrestleMania with this list that we have.
When you said we were doing 2002, I thought it was quite interesting, because this is, for me, this is a completely different beast to the WCW 99 podcast, because you could just completely bulldozer that whatever thing, everything that's happening, just start again. For me in 2002, because I'm so fond of the year, in my mind, there's kind of like this anchor in the middle for me, which I'm not going to change, which is SummerSlam. There's not much, too much, I can see that can be improved on that show, particularly when we voted it best SummerSlam and best non-Mania pay-per-view. It's kind of a bit hard to turn around and then, you know, have spectacles on, just going, oh, I could do better. You know, so it's just like, for me, apart from the a few little changes here, mainly the un-Americans, you know, SummerSlam will pretty much stay in whole. So I'm looking at it from two perspectives. I'm looking at it pre-SummerSlam, fix some mistakes there, and post SummerSlam and fix some mistakes there.
I agree with you completely on it being an entirely different beast, because like I said, in 99 October WCW, the answers almost felt like they were there, and that's the frustrating part. Whereas, and Ken, I think I said this to you on the phone the other day, when you actually look at the guys they had, especially at the top, they'd mix and matched a lot of those guys already, and it was quite a telling thing when I was kind of trying to place people in my own head. It's like, they've done this combination, and you can almost see why they went so much on Hogan and the NWO, because they needed something fresh.
X7 was like the grand part of the Attitude Era of WWF. This now is kind of like the hangover the next day. Look at the names on the list. It's such a mishmash of what's gone on before it, and they're trying to recycle and go again. So yeah, it's going to be an interesting one, I reckon.
It is, and again, like you said, you were not necessarily trying to say that, you know, this everything we could do is going to be better. SummerSlam 2002 was a fantastic show, you're completely right, but unmistakably, 2002 is the year a lot of popularity was lost. You can read it in the ratings. It didn't take long for it to happen either after the brand extension. What's actually interesting is when you look at the ratings, the post-WrestleMania Raw did a 5.3, obviously very, very good, which is way better than anything that came prior to that in the year. The draft show, 1 week later, did a 5.4, actually better than the post-Mania Raw. Really good rating. And then for the following, the first 4 weeks of the Ric Flair's Raw brand extension era, did 4.8 back-to-back, which was better than the pre-WrestleMania ratings on Raw. There was potential there. The audience wanted something new, and I think it's quite interesting when you look at the way that this balances out at first. People wanted something fresh. They wanted something different. They were on board with this idea at first. It wasn't until May when Hogan got the belt that ratings tanked. Flair turns heel, Hogan gets the belt, things tank.
Yeah, let's not do either of those things.
Yeah.
Rumble, before this timeline what we're doing, I really enjoyed the Rumble. It has, my favourite SummerSlam, has my favourite Survivor Series, has my favourite episode of Raw ever, all within this year. But there's also so many sections of it that need to be tweaked, and these are the sections that, as you said, eventually damaged the overall product and basically drew people away.
Mania through to just before the Vengeance pay-per-view, I'd say, before The Rock comes back, I could literally throw all that in the bin and just pretend it never happened. I think it's so worthless and so... We've talked before about times where they're treading water, and that it screams to me that period before The Rock comes back, that's what they're doing.
Just while we're on the subject of background, we got some feedback here. It seems apropos to start with Nick Davis, who suggested this topic. Thanks for taking on my idea and doing another one of these fantasy booking shows, he says. 2002 was such a strange year for the WWE, their first full year without competition. TNA was in its infancies, but for the first time in nearly 10 years, I would argue they were under no pressure creatively to produce Car Crash TV. This could have been a real chance to build around new stars and breathe fresh air into things. The WWE, however, thought that throwing about a million things at the wall would be a better way of going about things. They brought back the NWO, split the brands, brought back Vince Russo, remember that? 2 week fiasco? Brought in Eric Bischoff, brought back HBK, making him the top guy, and Brock being pushed to the moon to name but a few. But rather than look to the future in most examples, they went back to the future. Keep up the fantastic work, love the shows, and you boys. Thank you very much, Nick. And also here, Theo Diaz from TPWW, while on the subject of background, says, honestly, 2002 was such a clusterfuck of transition and uncertainty that I don't know what could be done to fix it as such. Austin had been reset as a face, but was so close to burnout that even if the Lesnar thing hadn't happened, I imagine something would have led to him stepping away sooner or later. The Rock's days as a full-timer were coming to a close. Triple H, a guy whose best contributions come as a heel, receives an undeniable face reaction on his return. Undertaker is wrapped up in an obnoxious heel run. Meanwhile, the newly acquirable former WCW guys who didn't come in with the invasion aren't going to do anything to assist with a move forward. I don't know what you could realistically do to mitigate the shitstorm of chaos that was 2002. And that is the job that we have today, gentlemen. So just as we go forward here, it's time to start kind of applying our creative juices here. We are, of course, just for the benefit of those listening at home, taking this on as if we are starting on draft day. So the guys who get injured later don't get injured. There are certain things that obviously do happen that are predicated by things that came before, such as The Rock going away, that we're going to have to take into account. Austin's injuries are going to be taken into account as well. The timeline of the way guys came in, whether they were coming back off injury or coming into the company, we're going to stick by them.
Are we doing this, with like hindsight? Do we kind of know the pitfalls that are ahead? Do we know what's already happened, or are we just going back and just doing it like as we don't know anything?
It's difficult not to do it with hindsight, because we can't do this go back and we can relive the moment in time sort of thing. That doesn't work. It's not possible. There are things that on paper we wouldn't have done anyway. I think even without the benefit of hindsight, there are certain things that we as wrestling fans, and generally knowing each other's tastes, we can point to and say, surely to God, we would never have done that. Even though it is hindsight, and I know that can possibly muddy the waters, I think there is a defence for it.
We are, of course, approaching this as if we have to do the brand extension. It's an edict that's been laid down by Vince. With that being said, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the guys, what show they're going on, I think it's important to talk about the idea of the identity of the different shows, the actual format of the shows themselves. Is there anything about this element that you think is a direction we want to go in terms of making Raw different from SmackDown? Do we want it to be basically two WWFs, which is the way they did it, or do you want to make it a bit more of a big dynamic shift where it's two very distinctly different products?
When I was thinking about this, I was looking at it through the prism of it's going to be two WWEs in truth. But the only thing that when I was mulling it over that I wanted to do was make SmackDown certainly the home of the cruiserweights, which in a large respect is what they did anyway, but that was something I'd want to stick with.
Didn't focus on it enough,
and I'd want more focus on that, but I'd certainly that was that was sort of the one takeaway when I was looking through the that I was hoping we'd get to.
It's debatable. I think they're inherently going to be two WWF brands, but I would say, similar to you, I would skew smaller guys in general onto SmackDown, more emphasis on an in-ring action side to it. We mentioned on the phone about the idea of the tag titles. Do you make one brand heavier on tag titles? Kind of gone against that, and I'd rather use tag matches as a structure for your weekly shows anyway. I just think I'm a fan of that. So kind of maybe going away from that, but definitely smaller, higher action guys on SmackDown for me.
Why SmackDown?
I think because Raw, I think you kind of stick, it's the traditional Raw elements to it. So Vince was SmackDown.
He was SmackDown.
I wouldn't do that.
That's what I was thinking. That's why I asked you why SmackDown, yeah. Because to me, and I was thinking about this, that those are the elements that you wouldn't necessarily think of, well, that's perfect for a Flair show.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
That being said, in terms of the GM situation, I absolutely see it as that being the right way around, actually, with Vince being in charge of SmackDown and Flair being in charge of Raw, and use any sort of viewing power that Vince has to help push SmackDown forwards.
Tiger Rick from the UK Fan Forum says, I think the biggest issue was always that Raw didn't have any identity. There was no attempt to move with the times, even though they'd split the roster. SmackDown became the work rate show, for lack of a better term, but Raw just meandered, no matter how much shit they threw at it. I'd have gone with the two world champions from the off, and crowned Raw's champ in a major tournament. I'd have the first hour built around good action, and the second around stars and stories, with the first hour used to really build anticipation for appearances and main events. I'd have banned anything that was proposed as shocking. There'd be no single brand pay-per-views either. As an aside, I always like the brand split, still do. They just stopped trying with it. There are no fresh matches left now. The brand split always kept something back for later, and I like that. Before we get to the issue of titles, which we'll come to shortly, pay-per-views, are we keeping it with the format they did for the first year or so, where it's everybody's on every pay-per-view, both sides? I wasn't a fan of the single brand pay-per-views, honestly.
I think it we need to keep it in that format as a necessity, because to my mind, there's not the roster strength for brand-only pay-per-views.
Do you think there ever was?
No, not the way they did it. I mean, you would have needed more of an infusion of new talent, I think, to make brand-only pay-per-views work. And I've never subscribed to this theory of every guy has to be on every pay-per-view, or has to be on every TV. I think there's value to not having them on absolutely everything. So if some guys have to miss out because we don't have brand-only pay-per-views, fuck it, so be it.
Probably the strongest time they could have had a chance of doing it is actually this year, and it isn't strong enough. So it's just better to just have it as everyone's all on the same pay-per-view. In terms of like the argument, like, oh, but it gives a chance to some of the lower card guys, that's what the TV show's for.
Natural selection anyway.
Yeah, totally agree with both you. If nothing else, by not having every guy in every show, it slows the pace down, so you're not burning through your matches so quickly and infused so quickly. No problem with that whatsoever, so totally keep it as mixed pay-per-views.
Love it. Michael 3165 from the UK Fan Forum on the subject of identity says, I would have gone so far as to have SmackDown adopt a whole new look and different camera angles than the Raw crew, and go down the legitimate competition route, similar to how NXT is presented nowadays, with more real life character work thrown in there. I would have changed the way they did interviews and backstage segments, brought back the old school style podium for interviews, and really changed it up. I quite like the idea that they did little bits of that, but they actually did it more with Raw wear through the Bischoff element. They actually stuck the announcers up where they were on Nitro and did like little things, but I like that. There should have been more of that. I liked it when SmackDown, as silly as this is, when SmackDown changed the referee's shirts so they didn't have the same ones as the Raw guys, and they changed the colours of the ring to silver and blue and stuff like that. It's like little touches like that. It needed an overhaul, and Raw got one right away, but SmackDown kept the same look. There's one thing that Heyman did when he was booking SmackDown that for some reason stuck with me all these years later, where they did this backstage segment where they had, I think it was after Mark Henry, so, okay, just to set the premise here, it was an episode of SmackDown where Angle and Hogan are going to wrestle for the right to wrestle Brock, where that matches the right to wrestle Rock at SummerSlam. And on this show, Lesnar kills Mark Henry with an F5, walks back through the curtain drenched in sweat with Heyman, and the camera follows him as soon as he comes back through the curtain, walks up to Hogan and says, I hope you win tonight. And then he walks back down the corridor with Heyman. The camera's following Lesnar the entire time, and they walk past Billy and Chuck. And Heyman just kind of gives Billy and Chuck like this disgusted look, and they walk past, so the camera sticks on Billy and Chuck, who are having an argument about tag teams, blah, 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 blah. Rico comes along, Billy and Chuck fuck off. John Cena comes out from another door, walks into Rico. They have their little brouhaha, set up their match for later on. Cena fucks off. Rico storms off in a huff, bumps into Kurt Angle, who calls him a moron. And the camera then sticks with Kurt Angle, who walks into Brock Lesnar, who then says, Kurt, I hope you win tonight, and walks away. And it's just like little things like that, where like That's different. Interesting concept. Things like that, and stuff like the kind of the video packages we get now more frequently in NXT to set up matches. Stuff like that, I think, would have really worked, especially if we're thinking about making SmackDown a work rate show anyway. Yeah. More of that. More different aesthetic uses of the backstage area.
Yeah, that's the Birdman technique, isn't it? They use that in the film Birdman recently, where the camera just follows constantly, trying to make it look like it's one shot.
Yeah.
And stuff, and they just follow everyone and everything intersects. It's a great idea, and it was a great idea for one movie, and it's a great idea for a segment here and there.
Oh, yeah.
But you couldn't base the entire show
you
couldn't do it like every backstage segment has to be a roving camera.
But it
is that thing of like coming up with something different, a different visualization. The chap who wrote in, he was thinking about like the podium.
Yeah, the old school, remember the one that Gene used to do the interviews on back in the day?
Oh, okay, I wouldn't call it a podium, I just thought it was like a little the outside stage, basically.
Yeah,
the stage
yeah.
that's in the crowd, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely for Raw. Yeah. I'd definitely bring that back.
Moving on anyway, Undefeated Steak from the UK Fan Forum says, I'd have made SmackDown a live show. Sure, it would have cost more initially, but it would have paid off in the long run. SmackDown could have been the show aimed at families and international markets, perhaps, and Raw the a more adult show, which pretty much is the direction they went anyway. Mm. I wouldn't have had separate brand pay-per-views. Maybe the odd one here and there as special one-offs. And a smelly meatball from TPWW brought us into the next topic we're going to have to go into here as we tackle this. I'd go a bit further and have fewer titles, but be exclusive to certain shows. Can keep the US and IC, but everything else gets stuck to one brand only. The initial split was able to easily support multiple titles per brand because the rosters were still bloated with WCW and ECW guys, but not once the WWE trimmed them down to something more manageable. The brand exclusive pay-per-view showed after a while how this was becoming a problem since the divisions and belts were too watered down. There's more comments here on the belts, but just before we get to what everybody else thinks about the championships, it's time to kind of knuckle up, as Ken Shamrock used to say, in terms of what we're going to do with these belts. Because just to give a little bit of a roll call here, for those of you at home who may not remember exactly, the undisputed champion at the time of this draft is Triple H. The Intercontinental Champion is Rob Van Dam. The Tag Champs are Billy and Chuck. The European Champion is William Regal. The Hardcore Champion is Maven. The Cruiserweight Champion is Tajiri. And the Women's Champion is Jazz.
But first of all, you definitely got to get rid of some of these belts. I think European and Hardcore, definitely.
I'd say Hardcore. I'd vote Hardcore off immediately.
Yeah. Hardcore and European for me. I would do the thing where I'd have a couple of belts which are brand specific. So if we were going to go ahead and we were going to do the United States title, which came along like the following year, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I'd have probably something like Intercontinental and Women's on Raw and the United States and the Cruiserweight on SmackDown. But I would keep the tag belt and the Undisputed Championship as single belts that are defended on both shows, because I was always more of a fan of just one world champion as opposed to two. I can understand why they went with two if you're going to do a brand split, but it just, for me, it just, you never knew, well, which one's the better one then? It's better to have one world champion. And I see the same way with tag, because looking at this list, I don't think they have a deep enough tag division to have two separate tag belts. So I think it makes a bit more of a point for the tag belts as well if they were just on one.
Yeah, I think in terms of kind of weighing this up neck and neck, I think that you got a bunch of women in a women's division, you got a bunch of cruiserweights. I think you stick one on one show, one on the other. They're similar in the sense of a kind of subsection of wrestling. If you wanted a cruiserweight division, yeah, or you wanted cruiserweights, if you want to have that belt, maybe that's something you across the table that will disagree with. Again, I do agree. I think the only belts to have as swinger belts are the Undisputed and tags. Quick vote around the table now. One Undisputed Champion or two champions?
Absolutely one. I detested the idea of two.
There you go, Kieran.
Yeah, totally one.
All right, so that's lovely and easy. I love how much this committee is getting along so far. This is not going to last long.
Can I just say that I could, either way, I could get rid of the Cruiserweight and just have like a TV title, maybe.
Honestly, if it was me on my own, I would shift probably the Hardcore European and Cruiser onto, say, SmackDown, and unite them all in a big tournament to create the US champion, which then was become more of a prestigious belt on that show. Have the IC on the other show on Raw, say, as again a more prestigious position belt with higher profile guys going for it.
Again, though, it's funny because you would think the best person to introduce the US championship would be Ric Flair.
Well, that's why
with Vince keeping the IC.
That's why I'd have him on SmackDown. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I think. Yeah, so it's kind of a tricky one because that is something we've inherited here, is Flair on Raw, but there are so many things I would prefer to have under Flair's watch.
There's no way I'm having new belts introduced unless there is a purge of some of the belts.
Yeah. They knew it themselves in 2002. They did get rid of a few of the belts. So I guess it comes down to nutcutting time here. Are we going to have tag belts as floating belts, or are we going to have them on one show? What do you think?
I think they should be floating.
Yeah, I think definitely tag belts should be on both shows.
Yep, I agree, floating as well. You've got a world champion who is either live or doing a segment of some description on both shows. You've got your tag champs, so again, because it's floating, you can mix and match high-profile guys. So it's a way of more star power on both shows without mixing and matching the roster. So absolutely floating for me.
So I like that. So I think we got the world title at the top, we got the tag belts as floating as well. I think we got the IC on one, we got another singles belt, and we got the women and the cruiserweight. So are we just sticking with on one side? We've only got the US belt on one side there, though, don't we?
You see, you're thinking pay per view as well. So every pay per view, you've got a world title, a tag title, an IC title, and a US title. A women's title, okay, is going to be there, I guess, because Chase is on the committee. And then a cruiserweight title as well. Although, on to say a SmackDown, it's got a function. I just think it is a lot of belts. So me personally, I would get rid of it.
So you've only got the US Championship on that one show.
Yeah, and you still got the world title and the tag titles as well. So
unless you made the women's multi-show as well.
No, I think that's too much. Just to say, by the way, because Kieran, you did mention the idea of having tag belts be the main title on one show when you called me earlier in the week. Obviously, you said you've reneged on that now.
Yeah, more the emphasis of
coward.
More the emphasis of maybe tags. The structure of a show being around tag teams and tag matches. We talk about they've already rinsed and repeated so much of this stuff already. Just having an emphasis on TV matches being built around tags.
Absolutely. I think, and just to say as well, this wasn't an exclusive thought to yourself. Chucks4W from F4W Message Board says, I also consider putting all the tag teams on one show to keep that roster from thinning too much. It could be a SmackDown exclusive while Raw got the Divas. The Cruiserweights could just be Cruiserweights. They didn't need to be separated from anyone else. Lost from Pro Wrestling only said, I think SmackDown should have been the tag team show. Jericho and Christian and Booker and Goldust should have been in the mix too, with the tag titles presented as the number one main event title, and the three teams in the SmackDown 6 would mix in with those original Raw teams. Those two teams felt like they should have been a part of the SmackDown 6 but weren't. Not Jay Tab from Pro Wrestling only actually takes the other stance and says, I actually would have kept the tag belts as Raw exclusives. With the Cruiser title staying on SmackDown, it means each brand would have a world title, a secondary title, and a style of wrestling unique to that brand. Given that SmackDown would be the work rate brand in 2002, the Cruiser title felt like it was a natural fit there. Meanwhile, the tag titles on Raw would let you make the most of the outsiders while they were still healthy / usable. A Dudley's outsiders match could have been built up to like it was a big deal, and then you could have a decent tag roster of Dudley's, APA, Billy and Chuck, outsiders, etc., who wouldn't necessarily put on the great matches that the SmackDown workers could, but would get decent reactions while you built up new teams, such as the soon to debut 3 minute warning, Jindrak and Cade, and my EWR staple that never actually happened, Stevie Richards and Val Venus.
Just for clarification, so we're all clear, I think I sense some ambiguity on what we're actually cutting and what we're keeping, so I just want it right in my own mind.
All right.
World title, tag title, floating belts.
Yeah.
Intercontinental on Raw. We're ditching the European. We're ditching the hardcore title. And are we getting rid of the cruiserweight title for the purpose of having just a US belt on SmackDown?
That's what I prefer. I just think, what's the point of having a cruiserweight belt? I mean, there's not enough interesting characters to form a cruiserweight division. There never has been in that company. Just three belts in one tournament to unify and put some emphasis on the new US title.
Yeah,
I'm in agreement with you. And to that point, just because there is no cruiserweight belt doesn't mean we can't have cruiserweight style matches for people who are vying for a US belt.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, totally. Well,
I think to that point, that's why you wouldn't have the women float either, because you'd actually have all those cruiserweight guys that would be in that separate division actually on the other side anyway. You just wouldn't have the cruiserweight belt. Yeah. Just stick onto your thoughts on the subject of titles. Let's see if there's any that agree or disagree here. Briefcase from the UK Fan Forum says, I love the brand split in the draft shows. It felt like a really big thing, but the double champions took away the whole prestige of being the world champion to me, and when looking back, I couldn't even tell you who was champ at what time. It's all too much. Number one WWF fan from TPWW says they should have had the champion go back and forth between brands. Having two world champions only served to water down the idea of being the world champion. You can never be Hogan or Austin or Rock or San Martino, because you'll always just be half a world champion. It was stupid and unnecessary. That, coupled with the beginning of the post-competition resting on our laurels booking era, led to winning a title not getting anyone over anymore. Undefeated Steak from the UK Fan Forum says they should have scrapped the IC and US titles, had SmackDown and Raw titles, and a world belt that got traded between the two brands, in my opinion. A standard tag title on Raw and a six-man tag title on SmackDown could have worked too. Interesting premise, but I'm not sure if the depth is there for a six-man tag title on one side, unfortunately.
I'm happy with the number of belts we've got now, and I wouldn't want to muddy the waters with a six-man tag belt in addition to the tag team titles.
And I don't think they explored all possible storylines that they could with an undisputed champion, a appearing on two shows.
Well, it's interesting you mention that. Pink from the UK Fan Forum says, I thought that having a belt that, aside from the draft, was the only gateway between the two shows, could have led to all kinds of interesting scenarios. I was picturing stuff like Matt Hardy turning heel on Jeff immediately before being drafted to SmackDown, thereby compelling Jeff to go for the world title as a means of getting to Matt and having his revenge, or Kevin Nash going for the world title so that he could infect both brands with the NWO poison, therefore making the defending champ the only thing standing between the WWF and Total Annihilation, by God! A little imagination would have gone a long way.
It could have been something, I don't know how necessarily it would work, but they could have done something like, inevitably a heel gets his hand on the Undisputed title, and, you know, if you're thinking like of groups, because the WWF love their groups, and so do I. If he has a group of friends who's on the one show that he was originally on, well, he doesn't have any friends on the next show. So it'd be quite an interesting dynamic if he had a stable which is actually split between two shows. So he had his boys on one show and boys on the other.
Yeah. He's trying to help the guys with the tag belts because he needs the help on the other side, which he doesn't have without it.
Yeah, yeah.
So many little things you could have done.
So many little things. They didn't explore it enough.
No, they didn't. Michael3165 is back in here from the UK Fan Forum. Says there could be a case to have the Intercontinental and United States titles being the centerpieces of the rosters. Building them up is a big deal and having main events for those titles. At least that way, if they have to have the champion go between rosters, at least the roster without the world champion that month wouldn't have nothing to work for, which you're in complete agreement with there.
Just a solid structure in place so we know what the parameters we're working with. That is the thing that's so important to have and to stick to, which is what they never did.
And we are aiming to. Alrighty, moving ahead now to some specifics, ladies and gentlemen, because we are now going to talk about the roster, where people are going and what we're going to do with them. This is probably the trickiest part, so let's bring it down to individuals. Seems like the most logical thing to do here. We've of course got to acknowledge the fact that The Rock, no matter which side we put him on, 1 week after the draft, The Rock's gone for 3 months to do a promotional tour. We've got him for one show, whichever side we put him on, and then he's off until around King of the Ring time. Steve Austin, Undertaker, obviously Triple H is the champion, he's the floater at the moment. Is the, yeah, I said it. Are we thinking Austin one side, Rock the other, in terms of where they're going? Because in terms of the top face on both sides, I guess is probably the best way to make this broad discussion.
I think the direction they went with was right. I think Rock makes more sense on SmackDown. I think Austin makes more sense on Raw. If we're going to follow kind of like the same dynamic that they went with, where like Raw's a little bit more lean towards adult side and SmackDown's maybe a little bit more family friendly, then you don't want a family friendly Austin's act. You need Austin's act to be as much as it can be, so it needs to stay on Raw. But but also, as you said, because we don't have Rock full time, SmackDown would need to have at least a really strong second tier guy right behind them to fill in the gap when Rock isn't there.
No Rock for the first 3 months of this brand extension, and of course SmackDown ended up taking SmackDown took the first rating sit before Raw did.
Just quickly as an aside note, I'll get back to the roster ASAP, but in terms of this family friendly theme, let's make it clear that this isn't necessarily just us wanting to push a family friendly theme either. You've got it's bearing in mind that SmackDown is a network show, you know, there are more constraints on the network, so you have to go more that way with SmackDown, regardless of whether or not you would want to. It's dictated that you go more down that path.
Alrighty, Kieran, you've been quiet over there. What are you thinking with Steve Austin?
Yeah, similar to the Austin and Flair scenario we went for with, well, I prefer that Vince on Raw, Flair SmackDown, Austin on Raw, Rock on SmackDown. It's a natural fit. SmackDown's Rock show, he's not going to be around much. Austin, he's not going to be wrestling much anyway, but still like a figurehead name on that brand. So I'll be perfectly happy with that.
Again, and just for the benefit of the listeners, we are going on the assumption here when it comes to Steve Austin that he's on borrowed time anyway, regardless of whether or not. I mean, obviously there were issues with burnout anyway with Steve Austin. He'd taken the 2 weeks off after WrestleMania 18 because he was frustrated with the Scott Hall situation. Moving on to some of the feedback here, because Harmonic Generator from the UK Fan Forum on the subject of Austin says, the more I think about it, the more I wonder whether Austin might have been the problem. Lesnar had just debuted and was a Raw pick, but didn't really get to mix with big names or main eventers until he started appearing on SmackDown in the lead up to SummerSlam. On Raw, he was a Hardy Boy, Spike Dudley, RVD kind of guy, but never got much chance to go higher. Likewise, at the beginning, he had the first attempt at turning Bradshaw into a single star. Remember that ill-fated run?
Ugh,
yeah.
I tried to forget that.
Backlash match with Scott Hall says hi. I'm hesitant to blame Austin for all this, but I do wonder whether still trying to maintain him as a focus of the show and trying to keep him on the level he was previously was causing a bit of stagnation.
Austin's like a real tricky one for me, and I'm kind of almost semi-relieved that he's kind of on the way out anyway. From a creative standpoint, I was having difficulty figuring out what to do with him. Obviously, he's still a great draw, still really popular, but for me, and I've said this before on numerous podcasts, 2001 damaged him a lot.
but we can get to that. And I think, but again, just to mention there, what actually did happen in that course of events, those 4.8 for the first 4 weeks shows there was enough juice in Austin, at least in a fresh environment as it was looking at the time, to at least in the short term carry out something if they had something else with some legs to carry them forward from there. We were assuming, I suppose, we have Austin till about June, July, August time, because even though we probably won't do the same booking things that drove him crazy and drove him away, his body's still breaking down and it's on the fritz, so he's on borrowed time.
We're at best looking at a handful of matches left.
So we're looking at Rock on the SmackDown side. Who's the top SmackDown babyface while Rock's away? Because I really don't want it to be Hulk Hogan, fellas.
Oh, cunt. Right.
For me, maybe Booker or
really?
Possibly Eddie.
Wow, it's the top babyface straight away.
Yep.
Booker was a heel at the time, but Eddie came in on the first Raw after being away for months, so he could have been brought back as a babyface if that was the desired approach. But you think Eddie top babyface right away?
You need to build him, obviously, if he's come back from an injury. But
bearing in mind Rock's gone after 1 week, that's why I agree Eddie sort of going forward, but I think we need someone with more impact out of them. And the problem with Booker there is, as I say, he was feuding over shampoo, so again,
he just lost the edge of pain.
He needs some rehab.
Look at this. I would personally, guys I'd want on SmackDown as well, would be Van Damme and Edge. So
yeah, both.
Immediately, because we lose Rock after one show, so immediately we need someone, and I don't think Eddie Guerrero's in that position, but I think the options of Rob Van Damme and Edge, Rob Van Damme more specifically, I think is a better option, because Rob Van Dam was hot at this particular moment.
I think on Eddie, although he's yet far away from the peak that you get to, he was always, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong, but he was always a ratings draw in WCW. I think it's there. I think it's just positioning him and giving the sustained build and push. Time is irrelevant for me on that one. He's always had a following that's there to be tapped into. SmackDown is really the vehicle for creating stars that wouldn't. That's for me. I'd really gravitate the bigger guys physically onto Raw and allow SmackDown guys like Eddie create an environment where they can get over in their own right. So that's would be my personal.
I question Van Damme and Edge on the same show though, because to me they're both in a similar position at the same time. I'd rather, I think it may be a better environment for Edge to not have to compete with Van Damme at the same time.
What, have Edge on SmackDown?
I'd have Edge on one show and Van Damme on the other. We can obviously deal with logistics. Van Damme's Intercontinental Champion, keep that in mind, so he has to go with the belt.
We want Vince on Raw.
Yeah.
And the
Vince on Raw, is that something we can switch?
Is that what we agree to?
Three of the four agree.
because
It's not like it was in the settlement with Linda that Vince has to be on SmackDown. Just that was how it transpired.
That's the way we're feeling logically. Vince on Raw, Flair on SmackDown. Is that the one thing that we can kind of change that wasn't ready on draft day?
Eyes for Vince on Raw.
Aye.
Nays.
Nay.
3-1.
Need his name on SmackDown.
No one's tuning in on SmackDown because of Vince's name recognition.
And you got Flair. Flair's quite strong in his own.
Then you'd have to have Rob Van Dam on Raw then.
And in retrospect, we're going to need another underneath babyface on Raw anyway.
Yeah. It would have to be Edge.
Edge to carry the show at this point. I don't think he's ready to carry SmackDown as the top babyface.
That's why, whether we like it or not, like you'd have Hogan on the show as well.
Oh, I fucking
you'd
hate
have
that.
Hogan on the show as a name value. You'd have him on SmackDown as well
with
Edge.
In the short term, I agree with G. I don't think there's any way around it.
As long as he's not the champion.
Give him the belt.
No, we're not giving. Yeah. Worst kept secret of this podcast: Hogan will not become champion.
Neither will The Undertaker.
But Hogan is going to be a focal point at least in the short term, and it may as well be on SmackDown.
I mean, at best, maybe if we can find him a tag partner, he might maybe get the tag belts at some point.
He gets no belts for Hogan. He's there off his name brand in the initial months to help us get other talent over.
Okay. I think Hogan and SmackDown, Edge on SmackDown.
So far in this revolutionary show, we've done exactly everything that they did.
They put the belt on Hogan.
That's the thing. What I was saying about, like, in general, I think a lot of the things they did was right. It's just certain details and positions they need to rectify.
All right,
need to clean the shit up.
Undertaker, speaking of. we've got to talk, we've talked about a lot of babyface things there. We've got to talk about the heel side. The only things that they prepared as heels were an NWO angle that when they brought it in, I mean, it didn't take long for that to fucking plummet like a rocket into planet Earth. And The Undertaker, who was put over Ric Flair at WrestleMania with the intention of doing Triple H Undertaker at Backlash. And obviously they went to Taker in the end. I don't know why Taker got this mammoth push. I don't know if it was because he spoke up so much in the invasion angle that Vince felt he owed him one or something like that. But he was just fucking unrelenting with this Taker push for the first 6 months of 2002. And I couldn't stand it.
He was owed one after that invasion angle, don't get me wrong. But I will say, you mentioned there, just before we get back to Taker, NWO, just quickly.
Let's get to him.
Let's get to it. I was never a big fan in the first place, but when you brought them in, the way they'd handled it, the damage was done straight away. You know, Hogan turns babyface straight after, turns himself babyface, effectively. Hall jobs to Austin. Nash is a no-go in the ring initially. That, to me, there's no gimmick there, so I would argue that we disband the NWO as quickly, as quickly as we can, just accept it's failed, because I want X-Pac on SmackDown as one of the workhorses.
Sort of half in agreement. I would definitely get rid of the NWO, because once Hogan's gone from that, it's not really the NWO. And so this whole watered down thing that they did, where they brought in Shawn Michaels and Big Show and I think Booker T eventually, that's bullshit. So, but I would still keep Nash, Hall and X-Pac together. My idea was I was going to do an actual click storyline, actual click group. I was actually going to do that because with my idea set with SummerSlam, how it was going to be, I was still going to build to the Triple H Shawn Michaels match. But it was going to be involving like the click storyline of like, you know, they decided to say like, look, you know, the NWO wasn't working because it was all about like egos, wink wink, towards Hogan, whatever. We'll keep it more about family and friends and so on. And so they decide like I'd turn Triple H heel. I'll put that out there now before we even get to him. But I wouldn't have him as babyface. I'd have Triple H as heel, and have him join obviously the click, and being kind of like the leader of the click until Nash eventually reintroduces Shawn. And it's that kind of thing of like, you know, daddy's back, you know, the main guy's back,
which Triple H
and Triple H fucking hates, and he's like, whoa, you said I'm the guy. And Shawn could be so diplomatic, saying, well, you are the guy, I helped you know retain the WF title, you know you're the WF champion, you're the guy. But it's just that bitter thing of like, Triple H doesn't like the fact that Shawn's being considered the guy, and you can lead to an eventual breakup between those two guys that could lead to a match and Shawn Michaels' return. So that's what I would do with them. So I'd get rid of the NWO, absolutely. That's dead and buried. I haven't burned the fucking shirts in the middle of the ring in a trash can. But I'd still keep, in particular, those three guys together.
But you're effectively ending a stable there to then create this new stable, which is then going to be disbanded itself by August.
I've got a totally different view on the NWO in terms of their use. Especially Hall and Nash are on borrowed time anyway for me.
Yeah, Hall was anyway.
I would turn him face, maybe even on the same show as Hogan, and I would have Brock Lesnar decimate them one by one. And I'd actually, just one on Brock, sorry, I'd have Brock as a floating free agent.
Yes, that's exactly what I want. I want the floating free agent, because Heyman can play his snivelling sport agent self, and we can have him lay waste to the useless bastards on either side.
You could have maybe two of the NWO guys on one show's faces, the other two on the other, and Brock just fucking going through them one by one, because this is history. I'm going to destroy these fools, and eventually we can actually build up to an angle of him getting the payoff on Austin, building it properly, because he's killing the past, because he's the fucking future.
But before just before you come in quickly, because we mentioned about laying waste and getting rid of people, we're losing Rock after week one. That's how you make Lesnar's impact.
I don't yet. Because, and I'll say this much for the WWF, while I largely disagree with their decision to do things like this sometimes, with Rock's absence here, the first absence they did, he was on a movie tour. It wasn't he was doing a film, he was doing the publicity tour for Scorpion King. So he was going to be on every show. Which is why they didn't do the injury angle, because they thought everyone's going to know it's bullshit. I wouldn't have done it the first time. I would have used that first SmackDown to have Rock help anoint whoever the new babyface is going to be in his place, if we can. Some kind of, whether it's a tag match, and they win together, and he gives them the endorsement kind of a thing. But I would save the Rock getting beat down for after SummerSlam to set up his return at WrestleMania, which can also come at the hands of Brock Lesnar if we want to.
The thing with Brock Lesnar is that's one of the things for this time period that I did actually like, and I thought they did really well. In my head, I don't necessarily know how I get to that point, but I had it as it was Austin Brock at Mania.
I don't think Austin's got that long.
You don't think Austin's got that long, even if we hold him back? And
I think
because he did eventually wrestle at 19.
I think that's because he didn't wrestle for 6 months. Then.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he doesn't wrestle for 6 months, I'm not saying I'd say we continue on almost like he doesn't wrestle for the autumn.
I would
and bring him back for Mania.
I think maybe the more logical approach would be to have Austin be the guy that wrestles Lesnar at SummerSlam and
that's,
then Rock,
yeah,
and then Rock at Mania.
Rock at Mania instead. And that way, if Rock gets again to Kieran's point about laying out history, he ends Austin's career at SummerSlam. Mm. Rock comes out the next night, and he gets laid to waste for 6 months. Yeah. Rock comes back, and then you got Rock and Brock with the training vignettes for WrestleMania.
But, yeah, that was the thing when Kieran mentioned Brock's destroying everything that everyone used to know, and that's the thing because for me,
it's synonymous with this. This is the hangover of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
So how do we give this a kick of invigoration? It was the one thing
they clearly did right for that time period, where it was just like the building of Brock, like, and just Brock just like being elevated
to
the peak.
That's the thing.
That's for me is the guy, and I do like the idea of him being a free agent. A
lot of interesting dynamics to play. Yeah. Actually, it's perfect in the sense of his very first appearance. Jim Ross makes the point of saying that's the hottest free agent in the business, which is like a great little line that he threw in there just to kind of put him over. And it's like, he's the hottest free agent. He's the hottest free agent. There you go. That's the whole thing. He's the next big thing. The hottest free agent. He's the only guy that gets to go where because of Heyman's bullshit and the fact that he does have such potential. Everyone gives him the leeway. The thing is, I'm such a strict constructionist that I didn't want two sides intermingling unless there's a championship. But if you've got one guy, the one free agent, it makes him special immediately. The only thing I object to is I don't think the NWO turns babyface after they just come in his heels. Hogan's just turned babyface on them. How do you turn a babyface so quick?
Two questions then. One, do we all agree that Brock Lesnar is just interbrand? He's just all over the place.
Free agent, I like it.
Yeah. And two, what the fuck do we do with the NWO then?
Okay, well, actually, I'll just move very quickly here because Drax Spager from the UK Fan Forum says, in regards to the NWO, I always thought they missed a trick by not holding off on bringing a load of Alliance guys back as part of the group. They must have known in late December that the original three NWO members were coming back in, so they could have held off on bringing loads of the WCW lot back and had them coming gradually as new members. It makes sense from a storyline point of view, and it would have meant that Hall and Nash could have just been mouthpieces for the members who could go in the ring without getting injured all the time, and with a bonus, they could still have Hogan turn face at Mania just without it killing the group like it pretty much did. And Big Vic from TBWW Forum says, as a passing comment, I guess an NWO DX feud might have been cool, maybe? On the lines of what you said with the whole click thing, yeah. I guess. The group imploding. Maybe DX NWO, but I'm not in favour of that personally.
This is why I say, because it's like the click is a bit more kind of better to do, because you know it's the first time you actually have all the members of the clique since what, 96?
Yeah, that doesn't mean jack shit.
But it's all inside
baseball bullshit to me. You're gonna get a lot of promos where they're gonna spout a lot of stuff that casual fans just aren't gonna care about, and multiple I wouldn't care about as a non-casual fan.
In terms of the NWO, the only name that's gonna come along that could have any sort of like mediocre impact is Scott Steiner. Without Hogan being
in the NWO, last until then.
Without Hogan in the NWO, you know, it's so even then, without Hogan, it's Nash, Hall, X-Pac, and Steiner. Jesus, it's saying something when X-Pac's the most stable one there, and he tears his ass open
for fun.
Yeah. Boys.
So we've got the kind of the hot burning issue here. So we've got the top heel Steve Austin on Raw, The Rock on one side, we've got Hogan on SmackDown as well, Edge is going to be on SmackDown, Van Damme's going to be on Raw, Brock Lesnar's a free agent, the NWO we haven't come to any kind of settlement on, and The Undertaker too. These are the main heel groups, or the main heel entities I should say, during this period of time. Where do you want to put these guys? Because it's kind of a damned if you don't. I hated the Austin Taker stuff on Raw. It felt like such a rehash those first 4 weeks, even if the crowd was with it because of the Flair Austin dynamic perhaps. But I think these are the two things I have a real hard time placing in my head.
I would have Taker on SmackDown,
NWO on Raw,
with a lack of, because this NWO thing's annoying,
just to clarify, we're keeping the NWO.
We know Hall's on borrowed time because he's either going to be drunk or whatever, and like Nash, he's probably going to get injured. He might have a heart attack. So we really only kind of got X-Pac. So I do like the idea that Carl mentioned briefly of having X-Pac on SmackDown.
If I'm looking at the Brock thing, I still think if we're going to go Hogan SmackDown, I'd put Pac SmackDown. Lesnar kills Pac. Hogan comes out. So you got the alignment. Pac's face. And on the other side, on the other show, you've got
thing is that that's going to turn Brock babyface because no one liked X Pac in 2002.
Could always do X Factor again. You got Just Incredible. You got Albert. All I'm saying is the music could return.
They had Taker and the NWO on Raw, didn't they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was fucking horrible.
NWO, I'm schools out on that one, to be honest. But I think Undertaker on SmackDown. But
the whole premise of using SmackDown as an opportunity to kind of elevate smaller guys without being in the big guy's shadow, I just think Taker's the biggest big guy shadow who I don't want anywhere near.
Stick on Raw.
Yeah.
Stick on Raw, NWO on SmackDown.
I'd be happy with that.
Take a Raw, NWO, SmackDown. Mark it down on your calendars there, folks. Yeah. Just to touch on RVD here, Slasher from Pro Wrestling Only says, one thing I would have done was given Rob Van Dam the chance to be the champion. With Brock being on SmackDown, which if it was me wouldn't happen, RVD could have been the perfect counterpart for Raw and setting the two champions apart in presentation and style. So he's thinking two champions there. Rob11 from TPWW says, RVD was white hot and I would have given him a run with a heavyweight strap, but instead he was jobbed out in main event matches. Fake Plastic Trees from Pro Wrestling Only says, RVD had just come off a hot year, with 2002 being the slow decline of RVD as WWE refused to cash in on his popularity. It would have been a really simple move, just move him to SmackDown right out of the gate. SmackDown's roster in 2002 should have consisted of Angle, Lesnar, Benoit, Jericho, Rock, Van Dam, Eddie Guerrero, Edge, Booker T, and The Undertaker. That would have been a strong top 10, and RVD would have never run into the politics of Triple H. Triple H can cosplay Ric Flair to his heart's content without ever burying Booker T, Jericho, or RVD, and all three of those guys would have most likely had world title runs before 2005. Raw would have sucked, with Triple H, Kane, Big Show, Hardys, Hogan, Nash, Dudley's, Austin, but it sucks now, so yeah. not the best. That's the thing I'm kind of trying to get away from here, is we're treating this like the priority is SmackDown, and Raw is still in many ways the golden goose, so we can't just put all the best guys on one show here. With Raw to kind of take the shit, take the cock up the arse here, just because.
But you have got Triple H as the floating champion, and we have got Lesnar as a free agent who's going to appear on
tag both. Champs too, I suppose.
Tag champs. Austin's there.
We got to stick. You got Van Damme too, and I do think that Van Damme to me gets the Bradshaw got as him as equal top guy with Austin.
Yeah, he's that thing of where, like, we were talking about with The Rock disappearing, and then whoever it is, whether it's Edge, is kind of like that symbol of the guy who replaces him. I think Rob Van Dam's the same with Austin. When Austin eventually goes, RVD's the guy who gets put into that slot, and RVD becomes the main babyface on Raw.
And conditioning people to seeing him. I honestly, as much as... I hate when Taker beat Van Dam at Vengeance at the end of 2001. To me, while I would keep Austin away from Undertaker, if I can get Van Dam to beat Taker, people know Taker as a top guy. He only ever works as a top guy. So having Van Damme with him, through osmosis, people are going to see Van Damme, even though he's the Intercontinental Champion, as a main event guy. And even if he's rubbing shoulders with Austin in certain tags and stuff like that, I think that Van Damme, he's going to be the guy to carry Raw after Austin's gone, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and to your point, that's why people naturally gravitated to him around September and October of 2001. It's because, whilst it may not have creatively been the best way of doing it, the fact that he was sharing screen time with Austin helped immeasurably.
There's a bunch of other guys who we need to delegate aside too. Obviously, Kane, Chris Jericho, Booker T, among them. So let's talk about those guys here. Kane is going to be a pain no matter where we put him. I really don't want to... Oh, God, I don't want Raw to be fucking Taker, Kane, and Austin. I really don't want that at all. But at the same time, I don't really want him on SmackDown either. Jericho is an interesting one because he was coming off being buried pretty much at WrestleMania 18, and he had that horrible world title run. I think that really took a lot of wind out of his sails. I think he needs rebuilding at this point. Where do you stick him? Is he designated for SmackDown, which is what they ended up doing, or do we put him on Raw and try and reheat him there?
I think SmackDown. If he's on Raw, he's going to be behind Taker anyway, technically. At least on SmackDown, he has a chance of being like the number one heel. Jericho, I think, has got a better opportunity of being a top guy on SmackDown than he does on Raw.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, I think.
In principle, yeah. Thinking would be absolutely Jericho on SmackDown, actually. But I'm just looking with the way the face lineup on Raw, you kind of need a heel who can go.
Yeah, I was thinking Angle, to be quite honest.
Really? See,
I know a lot of people want Angle on SmackDown because of how great Kurt Angle was on SmackDown.
I mean, we're creating the US title, and it's Kurt's the first US champ.
Yeah, maybe so, but at the same time, not for me, isn't it? Of all the guys who, while we're getting other guys ready, I think is the best, not only the best heel, the best worker heel, I think he's actually the guy that's been burned out the least with the audience. Because even though he's had his comedy moments, he's still credible, he's still good. I think no matter what fresh environment he's going to be in, he's going to be great anyway. I know the temptation is Angle on SmackDown on the Workhorse show,
but
at the same time, Raw, no matter what we do on SmackDown, Raw's always going to be the more prominent show.
And Angle can still go anyone anyway.
He's great, and I don't think that Angle's going to be the only guy on the show who's good. So
yeah, so Kurt on Raw, yeah?
I think Angle.
Angle, Raw, Jericho, SmackDown?
Angle, Raw, Jericho, SmackDown, yeah.
I can see Kieran fighting this. You think that's right?
This is why I don't book by committee.
No, I fought with a TV title.
Yeah, but you were wrong.
Yeah,
I wasn't wrong.
That TV title's great.
I just see Kurt as a centrepiece of SmackDown.
Carl, it seems like a logical thing to talk about here, because while I mentioned Angle on Raw there, the reason why I think he could be placed on Raw is because you have an idea for Kurt Angle that may actually allow him to be on SmackDown anyway as a centrepiece there too.
Indeed it will, thank you for telegraphing. To me, generally where Kurt ends up initially is not going to matter, because I'm putting the world title on him pretty early.
Yeah, I actually think that's the right thing to do. And I don't think it's even hindsight either, because at the time, Triple H had a limited shelf life, I think, as a babyface. He's never been a great babyface.
He's got to turn heel.
He's got to turn heel eventually anyway. There's still enough fan support with him, but they even set it up by having Angle beat him on the February pay-per-view. So there's a natural rematch there for Angle. I think he'd be... Triple H, short reign. He doesn't even have to beat him clean. He can lose in such a way where it sets up Triple H's next thing. But just get the belt on Angle.
And personally speaking, I don't want the turn for Triple H to happen whilst he's holding the belt.
No, I
don't
want
the
either.
Belt off him.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mm. So Angle, are we thinking Backlash? Angle gets it like 1 month in? You wouldn't hurt my feelings with that, by the way.
I actually had Angle winning it at Judgment Day.
Okay. Oh, you have to be a particular bastard, don't you, Carl?
but we can go straight for Backlash. I'm not a person.
Fuck it.
Backlash.
Triple H only gets the 1 month reign even now.
So we're making Kurt a champ, but yeah, we've got a rough timeline for how long he has the belt, or you just want him
a long time.
So are we
until Brock's ready?
But well, this is the thing though. Brock Austin, if we're doing that at SummerSlam, is that going to be not for the championship?
Does it need to be?
Probably not. But then probably, again, isn't it going to overshadow the you know, Brock Lesnar ending Steve Austin's illustrious career? Doesn't go last.
It can go last. Yeah. I don't.
I don't want
issue.
The belt not. I don't like the belt not going last.
The belt
ever.
Has to go last for me too.
Yeah. What's the future? The future's Brock, right?
Yeah.
I don't want a hot potato the belt like they did, because that's what it's going to look like here. But if we're going to get it, if we're going to get onto a different baby face, we have to have a I don't want to call Angle a transitional guy because I love him, but.
Yeah, but the thing, also the thing is, obviously we want to get eventually down the line anyway. If we're going to do Brock at Mania, the Brock's got to get the title anyway, and really for it to really come across, he's been dominant. I'd say he should have the belt for a while. He shouldn't win it like later, like as in December, January time.
He should
win it at SummerSlam.
But I would argue, if we're going that far down the line with Brock, I want Brock crowned at Mania.
So Rock beats Angle, Brock beats
exactly.
Rock.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so maybe this is the thing, because we don't have Rock for the Rumble, so maybe Brock wins the Rumble, Rock wins the world title in February, and because that's what they did anyway, the 1 month transition, there you go. So okay. Brock wins the belt, is crowned the king at WrestleMania 19, and Austin is just a grudge match that doesn't have to go on last. Fucking marvellous, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
I still don't like the idea of Austin Brock going on not going on last at SummerSlam.
It can
I'm
afford
I'm
to
I'm
not
the
last.
The title should always go on last,
you bill it,
but it's Austin
yeah,
Brock
yeah, but you bill it. It's billed as co-main, but the title for me, especially when you've only got one title.
But surely, like I'm not trying to compare this to Rock and Hogan, but wouldn't it have the same effect where like you have something that's potentially a hot match, no matter what the quality actually is, with the angle anyway of him beating Austin? Well, isn't that just going to essentially kill the crowd anyway? For the world title, are we not just going to get another Hogan Rock Triple H Jericho situation happening?
Not necessarily, because you've got to bear in mind, whilst using 18 as an example, it was a long ass show with two bloody mini concerts in between, and let's face it, Rock and Angle is going to be an infinitely better match than Triple H and Jericho would ever have been.
Yeah, that might not be so bad. So Rock and Angle for SummerSlam in the main event, and then that can set up, if Angle goes over, that can set up the rematch in February.
They've both got more mobility than a roided up Triple H had at the time, and it's not going to be a storyline built around a divorce and Lucy the dog.
Moving along here very quickly though, because obviously we mentioned Triple H is going to be losing the belt. Fair designation for Triple H on the brand after he loses the belt. Are we thinking Raw guy here? Because that seems like the most natural place for him to be in my eyes.
I think so, and I think to me it would be a general principle that whoever wins the belt, their roster spot, if you like, then goes to the deposed champion.
Yeah, it's a nice kind of, which is something again they didn't really delve into too much. It's a nice way of every now and again just tweaking both brands a little bit every now and again by having like certain people go back to the shows or whatever.
Maybe I like I said before, I am a stickler for keeping those rosters pretty solid so that Brock's the standout and the tag champs and the world champ, because it strengthens some core elements. I just love the idea of Brock having that flexibility, like we said with the free agent thing. You have Heyman negotiating with both sides to see who gets the first pay-per-view match of Lesnar, stuff like that. You can have a lot of fun with that.
True, but generally speaking, we wouldn't be hot-shotting the belt like they would anyway.
No, so Angle's holding the belt until February.
Exactly, so those longer time frames would help going forward.
I suppose so. Moving along now to some general directions, as you sent them in. B Papa from F4W says, putting Triple H and Hogan into a title match wasn't a good idea. Hogan was hot, but Triple H completely had his babyface momentum halted. I would have probably said something like, hey, so we're going to have two separate champions later this year, right? Why not just keep that going now? Maybe have Jericho cite some obscure bit in the old WCW rulebook that means he gets to keep that title back. So he brings it to SmackDown and drops it to Hogan at Backlash. Assuming that might not fly, I might do something like an alliance between Hogan and Triple H and have Triple H eventually turn on him. The Flair Austin thing was weird. I probably wouldn't have wanted to go that route. Also, this is a little thing, but I would have put Just Incredible in the NWO. I'm also forgetting if Booker T and Goldust were formed as a team yet in April. I really think they could have tried a little harder with them in 2002. They were not a team yet. They became a team in that first month or two on Raw, when they started doing the Odd Couple stuff. He also says here, the thing though is you have to be careful with this. You don't want to alter the course of history and prevent Brock and Triple H and Shawn Michaels happening, right? You don't want to undo Flair's position and alter what happened when Triple H was handed the world title. You may not want to alter the unceremonious death of the NWO, right? Well, we've kind of tackled some of those issues so far, but I don't hate the Booker T Goldust team. I actually loved them as a team because they were doing nothing else with Booker T at the time. They were funny, but the dynamics of Booker T as the hot tag guy and Goldust selling were just made for some really great matches. Just moving on here, the brain follower from Pro Wrestling Only says, tempted as I am to say, Triple H suffers a career-ending injury, has to retire, problem solved. There's probably more to it than that. LCC from the UK fan forum says, I would have definitely had a world title on each show and featured Jericho as the champ on SmackDown. The second person to say that. He would fit the worker show much better and was over like Rover at the time. I would focus on the tag belts a lot more and keep it as the Raw Only division. It would help differentiate between the two shows. Finally, I would pull the trigger on RVD. He would chase the belt for a couple of shows, taking the belt from Triple H late in the year. Fans were massively behind Van Damme at the time and he deserved a chance. I would build Brock a little slower but would keep him on SmackDown, looking to build him getting the title at next year's Mania. So that's in line with what we've got. But Van Damme as champion, I don't think we can get there. It's that thing, I love Van Damme, I really do want to push him as a really big deal, but you can only have one champion and that's what we're going with here. We can make Van Damme, I think we can make Van Damme a big star.
It's like after Austin's gone, Rob Van Damme's going to be the main guy on Raw anyway, so we do create a tricky situation there of what do you do with the supposed number one guy on Raw if he's not going to win the belt off Kurt Angle.
Well, I mean, and that's part of the reason why I think Triple H being on Raw is important, because you've got him there as a heel. Hopefully he doesn't play any of his games. Can't promise that, of course. Taker as a heel, you got him there as well.
Oh god.
I believe his name's pronounced Easy Go from Pro Wrestling Only. Says, I would build the Raw title scene around Edge, Shawn Michaels and RVD, and build the SmackDown title scene around Eddie, Brock, Mr. Perfect and Kurt Angle. Also work harder to keep Austin, if only in a non-wrestler role, and maintain a good relationship with The Rock so he would consider a part-time schedule. Booker T and Goldust should have got a longer run too. They worked very well together. So there's another vote for the Book Dust tag team. Not sure if I build any kind of title scene around Mr. Perfect near the top. Perfect, I think by April the cat's out of the bag with Perfect, unfortunately. Actually, Lost from Pro Wrestling, and he had a great point on that. He was talking about how when Kurt came in at the Rumble, everybody was raving about how, wow, what a great performance, we could really do something with Perfect. And by April time, it was actually Goldust who, through his comedy, was actually the Rumble comeback that people were talking about.
No, you only have to look at what they did with Perfect a couple of weeks later on Raw. He's wrestling Val Venus, and Austin hits them both with a chair.
And that's the end,
and that's the end of that.
Yeah. Mm. Vamp from the UK fan forum says, on Raw I'd focus my initial efforts on killing Austin off as a character, but the performer would never buy it. But that'd be my first arc. He's not a rebel anymore, he's a legend. Everybody wants to finish him off. He's the everyman who became something of a superhero, but he knows he's losing it. He shifts into what the Undertaker has become since, the old cowboy who shows up rarely and fights. Brock is the one who puts him into semi-retirement, so that's kind of in line with what we've got there. Then you've got to decide who to build up to the face of Raw. Few people spring to mind, really. Van Damme is over with a live audience, but God, is he a limited performer. Jericho had been shit since he won the title. A lot of that has to do with booking, but he still really damaged goods at that point. They've got Rock, Hogan and Austin, who are easy to book at that point, and then guys who are over but aren't easy to book, and they've also got a brand extension to get over. It's a big ask, really. There's some feedback. We'll get to some more as we get on throughout the show, but there's a few names that we're going to get to here. Booker T, we've heard his name mentioned there a few times. Where are we thinking? Are we thinking tag team with Goldust or Kieran? Have you got higher hopes for him?
No, I mean, yeah, long term, maybe I'll jump the gun. Like the Eddie thing, immediately I'd be happy with him and Goldie, especially in the tag title picture with the tag titles on both shows. So it's a more prestigious spot anyway. Gives more stock in them two guys, and gives them a chance to grow. I'm happy with that.
Raw, SmackDown?
SmackDown, I think.
SmackDown?
I'd go with that.
Yeah.
Same here.
All right. Yeah. That's 3-1.
I think definitely in terms of like the short term anyway, but in the long run, I'd like to see more from Booker T.
Kane, let's get to him. What are we going to do with this fella? Oh, fuck. Come on, Carl, this seems like one that you should... OVW is not a choice.
What about 90-day release clause?
we know they're not going to get rid of him.
Comedy tag team with Jamie Noble.
Oh, yeah, like this.
Oh, no. Oh,
come on, Kane!
by that point, he's already done the promo with his Hogan and Rock impression.
The Kananites. I don't mind... Kane is a comedy guy.
I don't mind the Kane tag team kind of dynamic, because he's done it before and it worked with like other people like X-Pac and so on. So
no, like, seriously, who's he teaming with? Because Jamie Noble's gonna look like fucking Dink next to him.
No.
How about some kind of dark, mysterious, brooding tag team with Raven?
Kane and Raven.
The Raven kind of lead becomes his kind of
his father figure.
His handler.
Yeah, kind of, I don't know, something interesting.
That could work actually.
Yeah, because I want to push Raven anyway, so I don't mind Kane being his bitch. That's fine with me.
Yeah, I agree.
Kane, fucking get him.
Yeah, all right.
Kane, so we're thinking heels, right?
Yeah.
Because originally I was thinking maybe putting Kane on SmackDown, but Raven act will work a lot better on Raw.
Get through the promos.
Yeah.
That allows for the more edgy nature of Raven's promos, if that's the way he wants to go.
Yeah, so Raw for both of them.
There you go, the dream team of Kane and Raven.
I quite like that idea, actually.
The tag division certainly needs some balls.
Raven's using Kane because he's a big fucking monster and he's controlling him, he's handling him, and just to get what he wants, which is like...
I think Austin needs a new heel to work with. I think Raven's a good guy to go with, even if it's only for a month or two before we get to King of the Ring time.
Kane's more his gimp kind of...
It's all about the gimp. All about the mask.
I say, yeah, that's the new Kane mask. It's got a ball gag in the mouth.
I think because we've gone on long enough, we need
the voice box won't help him now.
Help me.
What's the safety word, Kane?
Kangaroo.
Really does burn.
Oh God, 50 Shades of Kane. Right, okay, we talked long enough about deciding where this guy's going. Where the fuck's Eddie Guerrero going? I'm getting itchy here. Where's Eddie Guerrero going? Come on,
SmackDown.
I agree.
SmackDown.
Yeah. I agree.
Carl's lost it from the ball gag gimmick. I kind of had designs for him on Raw, but I think after we took Angle away. Guerrero on SmackDown works.
In my mind, this kind of goes like 2-2 with Benoit.
I think we come to Benoit when we got the roster shaped out and we see who needs him the most.
Okay.
And what role.
Yeah, because he's out for a bit. So
yeah, the lay of the land's going to change by the time Benoit's back. So we won't jump the gun there just yet.
Just as a quick one, because I think we can get this one sorted quite quickly. If we're going with the idea of unifying the other belts to get the US belt on SmackDown, so Regal's on SmackDown as current European champion.
Yeah.
Which means Tajiri's
on
SmackDown.
And also Tajiri on SmackDown.
And I guess Maven by default.
Yes.
Following on from our line of, removing the cruiserweights to SmackDown, everyone that, is too short to ride at a roller coaster gets put on SmackDown. Hurricane.
Chavo,
yeah. Kidman. Well, Chavo's on there anyway. Kidman, Crash.
Well, Scotty Too Hotty, we can throw in that cruiserweight argument, I suppose. He did hold the belt once.
Yeah, we can, yeah. Spike?
I don't mind him as the character, one small guy on Raw, to be quite honest. Stands out if he's the only one.
Well, the one thing I know we're kind of lukewarm on the Dudleys anyway, but I certainly wouldn't split them up like they did.
Oh, most certainly not. I must admit, before Kieran had mentioned Hall and Nash as being sacrificial lambs. I had the Dudleys as early sacrificial lambs for Lesnar.
Yeah. PSF in the UK fan forum actually says, I will always argue that Reverend Devon could have gone further than it did. They played it too safe and comical. If they had gone down the extreme Christian route, they could have done a really good mid-card act with him. Have him baptising a few of the Jewish wrestlers on the show, have him condemning the sinful divas more than he did, and even go with him praising the likes of Vince McMahon as a saviour and perfect role model for the Christian community. It may have hit a nerve and it could have been close to the bone, but controversy creates cash. Certainly not a game changer, but something that could have added a little bit of fuel to the SmackDown mid-card. So did you see, because at this point the Dudleys were stale, to be quite honest. They were played out, and you've either got to, Bubba's shown he can be a great heel as a single.
He did eventually, a long time later. I'm just thinking about that immediately, and it's all down to like what they were given as gimmicks or whatever, but those two individually, it didn't work. And down the line, they put Bubba Ray with Spike as a tag team up until Survivor Series, which is a few months later, where they put the two of them together anyway.
Because it was a failure. But was
so,
that poor casting, because Bubba's the babyface, Devon's the heel, and it probably should be the other way around. Devon's not going anywhere as a babyface, granted, but Bubba can go further as a heel than Devon.
Yeah, but him as one of the bigger guys on SmackDown, as, you know, being the bully.
Yeah, I can see that. The only reason why I'm kind of against it, because it's just like better for the Dudleys to be together. In my head, I was thinking like putting the Dudleys on Raw and just to kind of jump the gun a little bit, put the Hardys on SmackDown.
See, we're looking for upwardly mobile faces on Raw. Would you at least be inclined to have at least Jeff on Raw?
I think so.
With Matt as well? Or split them and turn Matt?
But the thing is, I just think with Jeff, the way he is, I just think like it's more room to move on SmackDown, I think, for him.
I don't think there will be by the time we've finished.
No, because okay. You're going to have guys like Guerrero, who ultimately going to be babyfaces, Edge, who's going to be top babyface, Rock's coming back, Hogan's there.
So you think, in that case, the Hardy's like with Rob Van Dam them in terms of like the next wave of babyfaces?
I think so.
Okay, then.
Raw's a lot more cool if you got Van Dam and Jeff there as the next generation than...
Are we agreed on the Dudley splitting up? Because personally, I keep them together.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, EG, what are you thinking here?
I don't see that much in either of them at that point.
I generally think they're better off as a tag team. If you guys, I know what Bubba Ray can do, but that was like years later.
I see the point. I don't see, even if you split them up, which is what ended up happening, there's a ceiling on both, but there is a limit to what you can do with them right now. So if you want to play it safe and keep them as a tag team, I think you need to find a renewed purpose.
Sacrificial lambs to Brock doesn't work.
I guess you could, but
instead of the Hardys,
maybe.
But the thing,
gets up from being put through a table and kills them both anyway.
Also, my issue is no sales the table. Also, my issue is at the time with the tag team division that we got at the moment, we've only established two tag teams and both of them are on SmackDown. So it's just a thing of like
we got Billy and Chuck as the floaters. So
we got Billy and Chuck as floaters. Oh yeah, we do, don't we? You need like some tag teams on Raw. So I think the Dudleys stay together.
All right, yeah, I'll go along with that.
May.
Duds together on Raw.
Duds together and say Spike as well. Just have the whole Dudleys together.
Right, so Matt and Jeff, both
Matt and Jeff can now split. In
they
my
can
opinion,
split. But if you want them working as a tag team still, because the tag titles are floating, I think there's an opportunity there where they can get back together and go for the tag titles.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting little premise.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jeff's going to Raw, Matt's going to SmackDown.
Right.
Yeah. Where does Rikishi go?
Oh god. With that fan out.
Big Show's still on.
Big Show's on.
Oh god. We can't. Right. This is the thing, right?
Do we have one big guy on SmackDown?
We have to.
If I was going to have one. Is Big Show. Is that noble with Kane's? It's counterproductive because he's making everyone look so small? Or does it make him look ginormous?
Yeah.
But
it's that thing of Taker, Kane, Big Show on the same show.
Awful.
You've also got to bear in mind we've then got to turn Big Show as well, because Big Show's a babyface at this point. I think there's been that many.
Well, he's a babyface.
He's on the face side of.
He's actually turned twice during this since we started this podcast. I think. So
do we send him to SmackDown?
I think SmackDown.
SmackDown's the one big guy.
Big Show to SmackDown.
And Brock's going to kill him eventually anyway, right?
Yeah, of course he is. If we're only having one big guy, does that mean Rikishi and Mark Henry are Raw bound?
I kind of guess it does by default.
Oh, Rikishi and Mark Henry on Raw.
What an all-star lineup we got on Raw.
We haven't no better than what they did.
Well, no. We'll get there. But I've noticed we haven't cut anyone yet. Or are we thinking that because it's a brand split and we're worried about depth, we keep everyone for now?
For now, I wouldn't
Christian and DDP.
Oh, Christian. Blah, 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 blah. He kind of got lost on SmackDown. I'm not opposed to him being on Raw, to be quite honest.
Because I don't want to do that un-American thing. I want to get as quickly towards
We're not doing the un-American thing, are we?
No. I want to get as quickly to Captain Charisma as we humanly can with this guy.
Yeah, but he's not ready for that.
He's
coming off the losing streak gimmick and jobbing to DDP at Mania.
Yeah, he's going to take a bit of rebuild, and he's the guy that we can have solidly kind of... Again, like, look at the guys that I think he could work with pretty well. Guys like Jeff, guys like RVD, great bump machine for Austin. I don't think he's a bad fit on Raw, and that roster could use a shot of...
I say
we need a good worker on that show that can grow in the middle, and I think, I mean, there's some space there for some guys in the middle to actually kind of get a bit of oomph. So I'm saying Christian on Raw.
Yeah, I say so. Probably going to say DDP for SmackDown then.
In all honesty, I don't think it really matters where we put him, because we are bearing in mind injuries at this point, and DDP's not long for this world in that regard.
Lesnar fodder.
What, does he die?
No, he gets retired.
He's gone within what?
Your boy Hardcore.
2-3 weeks.
That's, it's his own fault, isn't it? He does a superbike and kills himself.
Yeah.
Put him on Raw.
Just stick him on Raw. It doesn't matter where we put him. He's gone in a few weeks anyway.
Yeah, I say Raw. I don't think SmackDown needs him.
On the subject of tag teams, Farouk and Bradshaw, we keep them together at this point because there's no point in splitting them. They're worthless. by themselves, they're pointless entities.
Yeah, I agree. Keep them as tag team. What were you saying, Raw?
Stick him on SmackDown as a tough guy tag team. Bit different, or do you want to stick him on Raw? You got the Dudleys on Raw to kind of fill the same role. So
I'd move him to SmackDown in that sense.
Plus, you got the awesome tandem of Raven and Kane on Raw as well. So you don't want to have too many.
You need too much work rate on the show.
We don't want those classic matches.
Let's just, as a way of brushing through the women quickly, are we putting them on Raw or SmackDown? What did we say for
Raw.
That?
Yeah.
Raw.
Well,
okay, so they're all off to Raw.
Yeah, I'll assume they're all Raw anyway.
Okay, so putting the women on Raw, are we keeping one for SmackDown to be a valet for somebody, perhaps? Because I think that Stacey Keibler's more useful than being a face in the crowd.
Keibler wasn't much in the ring anyway.
Tori Wilson's with Tajiri at the time, so I don't know if you want to stick the two of them over on SmackDown, which is what they did do.
Let's get the hot women on SmackDown. What about these two, because I like these two. What about Perry Saturn and Lance Storm?
You like them?
I like
them.
Well,
they're cooked. No, I think you can certainly do a fair amount with Lance, I think. And you could Perry Saturn in ring. Can he be rehabilitated after Moppy? Or
how about Perry Saturn in a wacky tag team with Hugh Morris?
I thought you were going to say Sean Stasiak then.
No. Planet Stasiak might
Planet
not
Stasiak
last long.
And then Saturn.
Oh,
Saturn
terrible.
And Stasiak.
Rikishi and Henry Raw. Oh, fuck me.
I put Henry on SmackDown.
So Big Show's no longer the only big guy.
Yeah, but they need someone.
He's not a big guy, he's a fat guy.
Oh, so you start this trend of show Henry matches here.
Yeah, just like Trish and Lita are going to fight every week, so are Henry and Big Show.
God. So we don't really care where Storm and Perry Saturn go then.
Lance Storm, SmackDown.
SmackDown. I go Saturn on SmackDown as well.
Yeah, I'd say that as well.
D'Lo Brown. D'Lo? Oh no, he did actually tag team with Henry. Wasn't he tag team partners with Mark Henry?
Yeah, there you go.
As I said before, I'm very big on these undercard guys having their regular tag team partners. And
D'Lo's going to SmackDown. What about Test? Test is a guy that was being... they had a lot of faith in him. You know, he won the Immunity Battle Royal back at Survivor Series, so he's got the gimmick where he can do whatever he wants and not be fired. So there's probably some creative leeway there that you could do, but I don't know if anybody has big intentions for Test other than a guy that floats around the middle.
No, not particularly. The only thing I would say is from looking at my list is we've gone... quite SmackDown heavy here in many respects, so I think we need to balance it
absolutely.
Out
absolutely
and send Test to Raw by that base. On the base we've got no grand plans from at the moment.
Look, I'm going to get flack for this. I would probably have Test with Albert again.
Tag team on Raw,
yeah, need tag teams.
I'd do anything else. Are
any of us really going to push Test that much?
No,
like Test and Albert on Raw.
But yeah, so without Trish, the long awaited return of TNA.
Yeah. I guess
if nothing else, just despite Jarrett who's starting up at the same time.
I guess food proxy.
They lose every week.
I guess food proxy.
Well, TNA sucks, King.
Yes. Well,
all right. So just to mention what we said before about trying to strengthen, or not strengthen, but at least give some more actual bodies to the Raw side. The guys we've got left are kind of distribute. Mr. Perfect Raw. He's just going to be a guy.
Give him at least life. If we've got Boss Man. teaming up as like two grizzled veterans from a different bygone time.
They did do that against the Hardys once, and it was fucking awful. Oh, I had no chemistry whatsoever. I think Jim Ross in the Ross Report even said, well, they show no chemistry.
Let's not do that then.
Yeah.
I would say perfect on SmackDown.
I'm going Raw. I think Raw needs some more.
I'm going Raw.
We're left with guys like Godfather, Tommy Dreamer, Hugh Morris, guys of that nature. Sean Stasiak, the guys that we're not really going to do much with, Al Snow too. I don't really feel the need to kind of talk about what we're going to do with them, because they're basically just going to be interchangeable, job them
toss
out.
A coin.
Just so that everybody's following along at home, the rosters as we have them and we can talk about the plans with them are... On Raw, Steve Austin, Undertaker, Kurt Angle, Rob Van Dam, Triple H when he loses the championship, Raven, Kane, Jeff Hardy, Rikishi, Christian, DDP, Test, Albert, Mr. Perfect, Bubba Ray, Devon and Spike Dudley, Billy and Chuck after they lose the tag team championships, I'll throw Al Snow in there as well as an underneath babyface. For the women, we have Lita, Ivory, Molly, Terry, Jacqueline, Trish Stratus and Jazz. That's on Raw. Over on SmackDown, we got The Rock, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall and X-Pac, Chris Jericho, Hulk Hogan, Edge, Booker T, Eddie Guerrero, Big Show, Mark Henry, William Regal, Matt Hardy, Maven, Lance Storm, D'Lo Brown, Sky Too Hottie, Goldust, Kidman, Tajiri, Hurricane, Crash Holly, Perry Saturn, Chavo Guerrero, Bradshaw, Farouk, Stacey Keibler and Tori Wilson, and as discussed, we have Brock Lesnar as the only free agent who can appear on both shows. Moving on to a bit more feedback here, see what you guys would have done. Boy Better Know from F4W says, we have Triple H as the face world champion coming out of WrestleMania. Have him hold the title until SummerSlam where Brock beats him. Shawn Michaels comes back after SummerSlam to manage Triple H. Angle, as a babyface, wins the Rumble by eliminating Triple H last. Triple H turns on Shawn, blaming him for the loss. WrestleMania 19 then has Kurt Angle going over Brock Lesnar for the world title, and the Shawn Michaels comeback match with Triple H that happened at SummerSlam just happens here instead. I do like the idea of Angle as a babyface challenging for the world title. I wanted them to do that in real life and not do it the way they did. I wish they'd flipped it so Angle was challenging the monster heel Lesnar, which is what I thought, where I thought the money was. It's not a bad suggestion there. Lecter Yo from Wrestling Forum says, not split up every fucking tag team. Way to kill the biggest part of your show in one night. Build up Lesnar versus Austin properly. Austin sticks around until he can't anymore. I agree with making the NWO bigger, which we certainly don't. If you're going to do it, and less of a comedy angle, Triple H versus Lesnar for the Undisputed title should have happened. Tuxedo Dragon from F4W says, the WWF Board of Directors overrule McMahon's desire to kill WCW after he wins the All or Nothing battle. They decide to continue WCW as its own brand. Ric Flair is brought in to be the fictional chairman. SmackDown is rebranded to Nitro, with the Alliance wrestlers being its initial roster. You work out the title situation so all WCW belts are on Nitro. There will be other roster moves over time. I would have a look into the era deeper to make more specific moves. In a perfect world, I would make Heyman the head booker. I think at this point the WCW thing's dead, to be quite honest. And as we went over in our Invasion Is It Doomed to Fail podcast way back when, which you can hear at squarecirclegazette.com, all the networks violently rejected the idea of a WCW show with that particular label on it. So I don't think, and it was actually mentioned in the F4W thread quite a bit, that I think that's a no-go. Pantsless Yoda from F4W says, if it were me, I'd turn Triple H heel before SummerSlam and build the company around him. With Austin Angle...
Is this Triple H that
wrote? With Austin Angle, Van Damme, Hogan, Rock, and maybe Shawn Michaels getting two-month title programs with Hunter. Jericho and Taker would also dominate the heel side, with Jericho getting the IC belt and Regal to the undercard heel. I'd put the belt on Austin if business started to slow down, but otherwise avoid it, and have him just on the edge of the main event, occasionally stepping in, sort of like how Cena has been used in the last few years. I don't think at this point we could really put the belt on Austin. I just think that there's a little bit of an instability there, especially in the fallout of WrestleMania 18 when he bailed. Yeah. I'd be reluctant to do that, I think.
Agreed, and I think you can see from our general plans for Austin, we're going more along the lines of that that legend status that one of the previous emailers mentioned.
Gary Thompson, you left his feedback for us on the Facebook page, which of course you should go and like us, of course. I forgot to mention that before. Gary Thompson did and left this feedback. I like the idea of two GMs, so Vince and Bischoff are there for me. I would keep the way they did the draft, simply because it's very NFL-like, and being in the States, it makes sense to me. Since there was a huge roster, I would have two main titles, the IC belt on one show, the US on the other, tag titles on each show, and finally a women's title defended on both. Tag teams get drafted together in his world, as the tag division was light back then, and through time put new teams together. I would try and split the roster with even stars and not have Raw get too many of the big names. SmackDown had awesome wrestling in 2002, so I wouldn't change that. Raw I'd promote with more wrestling and shorter promos. WWE missed the boat on Raven. If Scott Hall hadn't got issues, Nash wasn't injured a lot, and Hogan wasn't being his usual self, I wonder how the NWO would have fared. I know it wouldn't be like 1996. I think the NWO was kind of, it was doomed to fail from the beginning, to be quite honest.
Yeah, there's something that Gary just mentioned in there, just kind of briefly in passing, which I actually quite like, and it's the main reason why I've always loved these drafts. The football dynamic of the draft can be used a little bit more. I think, like, in terms of keeping things fresh, because if they do the draft like every year or every 2 years or whatever, I quite like the idea of that's how any new superstars get brought up. They get brought up during the draft, and there's this kind of like almost like the NFL, where it's this thing of like, oh, we're hearing good things about, you know, oh, we're hearing good things about John Cena in the developmentals and stuff, and like, you know, Vince and Flair are bidding to try and get these hot younger prospects into their brand or whatever. So that kind of like NFL thing, I quite like that a lot more.
Vignettes of the weeks building up of these different guys. And
a nice idea. Yeah. I remember in SmackDown for like 3 weeks before or whatever, you'd say, hey, this is a prospect that's eligible for the draft this year.
Yeah. And so videos that inform people who they are, so you know why Flair and Vince are like, you know, fighting each other for them. And it already straight away, without having to do the stupid squash matches like they usually do, it's a different way of bringing these guys in and showcasing them and kind of making them seem important by the fact that they haven't even wrestled a match in the main company yet, but already Vincent Flair or Bischoff Flair, whatever, are already fighting over them.
JR's rookie breakdown.
That's a good. I'm working to it. Oh man, that's a great idea.
That's the thing I pointed out with Gary, is that I think a little bit more of the NFL stuff wouldn't be amiss in this, in terms of the drafts anyway.
Noid from TPWW with some more ideas here. Splitting the rosters, I'm finding a lot of the pairings that don't really have chemistry. The guys primed for big singles pushes to me seem almost entirely Canadian, or William Regal. I've got Christian on SmackDown and he and Regal are sort of allied, but you can sort of tell that Regal finds Christian annoying and Christian's waiting to stab Regal in the back. They're basically doing the sucking up to Vince thing that Austin and Angle did, but their characters are less damaged by it at this point, and it's around the European belt. Oh, and Regal has been assigned Bossman, Stasiak, and Stevie Richards as goons, which sometimes help out Christian by extension. One big thing I've got is the NWO on SmackDown, which we also have. It would have made sense for them to be drafted to Raw so Flair could keep an eye on them, but I think they would have been more interesting buying first row tickets and showing up as members of the SmackDown roster. Plus, Rock had such an identification with SmackDown that I couldn't see him not being there. He was the perfect guy to go up against the NWO at the time. Of all the top faces in the WWE, he was the guy who looked best, taking a beating and didn't lose aura because of it. The big story was probably in Rock and Hogan going up against Hall and Nash. Another big difference I've got is Edge signing with Raw instead of SmackDown. I have this idea in my head that Flair sees a lot in Edge and wants to do anything he can to get him. He promises him the champion's lifestyle on Raw. It's a similar thing offered to Chris Benoit. I'm not saying they would eventually bring back the Four Horsemen against Austin, but something along those lines down the track could have been something, especially if you get Brock Lesnar joining Austin against them for a short period. Quite interesting to see that there's potential for new stables to kind of blossom with this thing. There's maybe potential for something there, but I wouldn't want to turn Flair heel no matter what.
No, and that one almost hinted at a Lesnar face turn relatively soon as well, and I certainly don't want that.
But he's right, and it goes back to what we said before about, you know, it is difficult, you know, in terms of the pairings. We'll come to Benoit shortly because we're going to get to the guys incoming in due time. King Pitcast from the UK Fan Forum says, I definitely wouldn't book Austin versus Taker number 88454546 43 as the first top Raw feud. Austin, Taker, and Triple H are the problems, actually. They're your top guys, but they're all worse than they were a year before. But then I don't know what I'd book instead. That's an issue with it. There's loads of stuff that you can look at and say was shit and counterproductive, but it's hard to come up with anything that would have really made much of a positive difference. Like putting the belt on Hogan being a mistake, but keeping it on Triple H in his shitty babyface phase wouldn't have done a lot more. Although off the top of my head, one idea would be to have the NWO help Triple H beat Hogan at Backlash and keep the title on Trips until next Mania, where he loses it to Brock Lesnar. That plan, despite being impossible due to Razor and Diesel's fuck-ups anyway, also robs all the good stuff that did happen in that time span, such as the rise of Brock as champion on SmackDown and the forming of Evolution. I'd have had Jericho kick the shit out of The Rock on his last night on SmackDown before going off to do a film to try and give him some momentum as a top heel, which he could then use to try and put somebody else over. So again, people's natural inclination is to try and salvage something out of the NWO. For us, we're sticking them on SmackDown. There's probably about 3 or 4 weeks of juice in them as a top heel act, we think, until they're eventually going to become Brock fodder. Powerful Fox from the UK Fan Forum says, absolutely anything could have been better than Raw in 2002. It was so disappointing, and again, it all just simply comes down to what could have been. One thing, Jericho. He was still awesome then, and being denied a proper run as the Undisputed Champion was an absolute travesty given who he beat to get to only lose to Triple H at Mania. It was an absolute joke. He could have been a tremendous champion given a good run with it instead of just a footnote in the anthology of history. Jericho, again, we're in that rebuilding phase with Jericho. I think him and Edge is a good way to kind of, if they have that chemistry on SmackDown, I think it's good for Edge. I think it's good for Jericho. Yeah. Obviously, you can mix in the NWO and Hogan in there as well for the star power if need be. Some interesting ideas. Is there anything that makes you want to kind of change the direction we've kind of discussed up to this point? Anything that you would want to add in there that we haven't got already? Particularly maybe surrounding Triple H, because Triple H, we've got losing the belt and turning heel, nothing specific. Are we going with the angle with Shawn Michaels as he's coming back? We're going to get to these guys now, the incoming or inactives.
Yeah, I would see no reason to go against Triple H and Shawn, because it's the most natural thing to bring Shawn back. So, although, let's start with it. Where does Shawn go? Does he have to go to Raw? Can he return for the one match at SummerSlam and then eventually, for instance, get put on SmackDown if that anyone wanted that? It's very...
He kind of has to be on Raw, doesn't he? If Triple H is on Raw and this is the feud for Triple H after he loses the belt, so he's on Raw anyway, doesn't Shawn have to be there?
So, well, what's Triple H doing at Mania? Because I say if you put Shawn... He returns unattached at SummerSlam. He beats Triple H... Then I'd, if he returns, I'd maybe keep him separate and then do the rematch at Mania as an interbrand thing, something special.
Mm. Keep him as a special attraction for the first little while.
Mm. Yeah, because I think you're absolutely right with as you said, with Austin, Undertaker, and Triple H, all on Raw. SmackDown kind of needs
a little
extra something in there.
What's the longevity on the NWO on?
That's going to be something that would be dictated by real life. Yeah. Just when Hall self-destructs, when Nash falls apart.
But I mean, by the time they're dropping off, he could do as an experienced kind of name hand on SmackDown.
By then, because again, in real life, Hogan didn't last the year either. So if Hogan's gone, he kind of falls into the replacement as the kind of legendary. Yeah. And he's so good that he could work with so many of these guys Guerrero and Booker and Jericho and all that good stuff.
Also,
and you could play off a part of the conflict for Triple H being the fact that he's losing to Michaels at SummerSlam still, and he can't get to Michaels because he's on the other brand.
As a natural time, you could even do the thing where Shawn Michaels, that first match with Triple H, he's not an active wrestler, he's not under contract, so he only has the big match with Triple H. Flair signs him to a deal. He's not actually contracted to Raw, he's just the guy coming back, so Flair makes the grab. Natural way to get him, I think.
Yeah.
Moving along now to some more guys we're going to add to the roster. These are the incoming or inactives. We mentioned Shawn Michaels there, so we've got an idea for Shawn to kind of linger around Raw as Triple H's buddy for a little while before Triple H turns on him in a shocking fashion. But of course, he will then go to SmackDown and kind of linger around there. Triple H can't get back at him. He has to figure out a way to arrange the match for WrestleMania. So that's kind of a nice little story there that can last for a little while. Rey Mysterio's coming in July. Is he SmackDown bound?
I think so. I mean, that's the whole identity of this show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the premise we're going to go with at the start, so... Yeah.
Mysterio's a natural one there.
With that being said, if we move on to Bischoff, I think it's got to be Raw.
I don't sign Bischoff.
What?
I don't sign Bischoff at all. I wouldn't sign Bischoff yet. I wouldn't sign Bischoff until the brand extension's coming to an end.
I kind of agree with that. I mean, we're not turning Flair. Keeping Flair as the babyface figurehead. We've got Vince in the... probably we don't need him yet.
I think they brought him in and he meant, obviously he meant nothing. He's a great performer, great TV performer, but he wasn't brought back in a money position.
In terms of added value to the show.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
So you're saying you wouldn't bring him back till the brand extension's ended?
Bischoff will still mean the same thing when he walks on the screen for the first time than 2002. What did he do?
Anyway?
What did he do?
What does it mean anyway?
The ratings didn't jump because Bischoff was there, because he was just another character on the show. Use him as a money player. I don't see the need for Bischoff, to be quite honest, yet. The only reason they got it was a panic move for the fact that Raw Reigns tanked.
It was a panic move, and Vince was withdrawing himself from TV. He was having one of his sabbaticals from TV.
Exactly. So, I see value in Bischoff. I absolutely see value. I see more value in Bischoff than they did. And that's why I don't want to bring him in straight away. Yeah. So I would hold off on Bischoff. There's potential there.
I'm fine with that.
Which leads us to the returning Chris Benoit. In June, he's coming in.
You naturally say SmackDown. I do come back to that Raw roster and think...
Sucks.
It needs some workers.
Yeah, and particularly with the fact that now Shawn's going on SmackDown, I think that pretty much says Benoit should be on Raw.
Yeah, and with Kurt doing both as world champ, I think, it's fine. Yeah.
And I'm not personally concerned with having Benoit and Guerrero as tandem together, even briefly. I think, I don't want them as partners in any sense, because I want to make them their own individual stars.
Yeah. Thinking Benoit babyface or heel?
Now you see, for me, it's babyface.
My inclination says that too. I think it flattened him out when they brought him back as a heel.
Even if you decide ultimately that you want to go down a heel run, you have to bring him back as babyface and give it a go because everyone knows he's coming back from the spinal surgery.
Yeah, and you got Triple H at this point will be in a state of flux as he's in the middle of his turn in this June-July period. Austin, we're assuming, is going to be wrestling less as he prepares for SummerSlam. You got Van Damme and Jeff Hardy as the main babyfaces on the show with Angle doing both. I think Benoit is a strong number two babyface. Yeah. At least until he finds his footing, and then maybe if he gets better, if the crowd takes to him more, run with him, just play it by ear. We're getting down to the three OVW call-ups that they made around this time. A couple of fellas by the name of Randy Orton, John Cena, and Dave Bautista. Where are you putting these people?
Well, to G's point earlier with SmackDown being taped, I'm going to use that as a reason to stick Bautista, in particular on SmackDown.
So you go Cena Raw, because I don't think you want those two on the same show.
I agree. Bautista, I think, would be a good bodyguard character for somebody.
Bodyguard for Jericho?
Yeah.
Bodyguard for Jericho. Jericho's
been pushed around by all these fucking assholes. Yeah. He's an island to himself, and the NWO's there, and you got all these tag teams. Jericho could use a fucking stooge, and you need someone to drop the falls in Jericho's tag matches, so there you go.
And Jericho has that, in terms of his heel persona at this point, it's got that whiny. Almost sort of, there's a chicken shit element there.
There's an early 90s Shawn Michaels, and we need a Diesel for this role.
Also, if like obviously if Bautista develops and there's obviously something there, turning on Jericho, like babyface.
Yeah,
Jericho's a great guy to put him over, and to help with that babyface development.
To Kieran's point, then we put Cena on Raw.
I think so. What about Randy Orton? Who came in and really didn't do too much at first until they turned him heel, and then he with the RNN, he started to find himself a little bit, but I'm not keen to bring him in as a babyface.
Heel. I'd say bring him in as a heel. I would say SmackDown, looking at the heels on SmackDown. If we're assuming that the NWA ain't going to be around much longer, looking at the babyface side of things and looking at the heel side on SmackDown.
But with Orton, you can play up the sense of entitlement because he's Cowboy Bob's son.
Yeah. So you look at like the babyface side of things. You know, you got Rock, you got Hogan, you got Edge. You got Shawn Michaels, you got Mysterio. So like in the long run, they're going to need like a really kind of fresh, hot heel on SmackDown. So I think that's where the room develops, because Orton as a heel is going to have a lot of great workers to work with to develop into a top heel.
Orton on SmackDown.
Whilst Raw is just going to struggle, I think.
Well, the SmackDown roster is enormous, by the way.
which is why I'm going to say Haas and Benjamin to Raw. Again, it needs workers.
And they have to, because you still do the team Angle thing. Angle's on Raw.
All right.
Even though he's champion, you know, he's going to be above shows, but he's primarily a Raw guy. So have team Angle on Raw.
Shannon Moore, SmackDown for the Cruiserweights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would also say the same for Jamie Noble and Nydia.
So, as best I have it here, and I hope I'm not completely wrong, there's a few of the guys going to be added to the rosters. Final rosters on Raw: Steve Austin, Undertaker, Kurt Angle, Rob Van Dam, Triple H when he loses the championship, Chris Benoit, Raven, Kane, Jeff Hardy, Rikishi, Christian, DDP, Test, Albert, a blue chipper, John Cena, Mr. Perfect, Bubba Ray, Devon and Spike Dudley, Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin, Billy and Chuck, Al Snow, Lita, Ivory, Marley, Terry, Jacqueline, Trish Stratus, and Jazz. Over on SmackDown, we have The Rock, of course, with his time off being a factor, the NWO, as long as we have them, Chris Jericho, Hulk Hogan, Shawn Michaels, Edge, Booker T, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Big Show, Mark Henry, William Regal, Maven, Matt Hardy, Lance Storm, D'Lo Brown, Sky Too Hotty, Goldust, Kidman, Tajiri, Hurricane Crash, Perry Saturn, Bautista, Randy Orton, Chavo Guerrero, Bradshaw, Farouk, Shannon Moore, Jamie Noble, Stacey Keibler, and Tori Wilson. And again, Brock Lesnar is the roaming free agent.
Yeah, SmackDown's awesome.
So SmackDown's still great. Raw looks a little bit better. Alright, just to wrap this up here then, to get some ideas about what we're going to do with these belts. The Intercontinental Champion is Rob Van Dam. Booking idea at the moment, just keep it on him for as long as he can keep it credible. Have him as the guy that, you know, holds a belt for a long time. No one can beat him as we elevate him.
Yeah, absolutely. Because as I said, like, if he's going to end up being like the main guy on Raw, but he's not going to get the world title at any point, he needs to have something to make him like
the guy
on Raw. So give him an Intercontinental.
Well, he's already got it, so that's fine. He can hold it for the foreseeable future. We've already talked about the United States Championship. We are unifying the Cruiserweight, Hardcore, and European belts to make one actually mean something. But we didn't crown a champion. So who are we looking at here?
I don't know whether you'd want to do like a tournament or something. Just simply vacate all the belts, go, fuck that, we're doing United States.
You do a tournament, and you put the existing champs in the tournament.
That's what I was thinking.
And they get a bye because they're existing champions.
That's what I'm thinking. So you do that, which is, what is it, Regal, Tajiri,
Maven.
And Maven, right? And then the surprise guy that gets added in, the wild card, is Eddie Guerrero. He returns, and Eddie Guerrero is the guy who wins it.
Eddie takes it?
Yeah.
Eddie is a heel holding the belt. Seems nice for me. He's got a lot of guys to work with, so I like Guerrero holding it. Oh, especially by the time that tournament's done, you got Ray coming in imminently anyway.
Yeah, it suitably meets the notion that Kieran suggested earlier, about we want to put more emphasis on Eddie. We want to try and push him sooner than happened in real life, and this is the perfect vehicle to do it. And I also think it contrasts nicely with the Raw side, where you've got the babyface holding the other title.
Tag team belts, Billy and Chuck are losing them. I think we come with the idea, kind of just through general discussions, the way they did it was they had Raw the draft show, and then SmackDown was like the final go home, which is where they actually switched the hardcore title from SmackDown to Raw by putting it from Maven to Raven to get the belt over to Raw. I like the idea of, on that final SmackDown, doing the Hardys after they've been drafted separately. They get one chance and then they've got to win, otherwise they're no longer a team, and they do beat Billy and Chuck. Billy and Chuck then go to Raw to kind of strengthen that side at least a little bit. And but it's great because you've got Matt and Jeff as the champions, and the dynamic is at the when they lose those belts, the team's done.
Yeah, that's great, because it's just like every match they're in for them is going to matter, because it's whether they team up again.
Yeah.
And any heel team that eventually beats them,
oh, they're assholes.
Huge fucking heat.
And in the short term, we've got more heel faces in the immediate future anyway.
So. More heel teams in the immediate future. Going back to the IC and US belts though, Arvid's going to hold for the foreseeable future. Any idea on who's going to beat him for it, or any kind of direction, any kind of time frame for Van Damme, or just see how it goes, play it by ear?
For as long as we're not going to pull the trigger on RVD as a main champion, he keeps the IC belt. When he does eventually lose it, hopefully by that time, Christian, he's been elevated back up to a point where he can take over as IC champ, for me anyway.
Alright, and obviously we've got Guerrero winning the US Championship. Any idea who's taking it off him? Are we thinking maybe Mysterio? They can have a nice exchange there. If Van Damme's holding that belt for a long time, we can use this one, I want to say flip-flop it a little bit more, but we've got the World Championship and the IC title kind of staying on one person. US title, maybe a little bit more room for flexibility with some changes with Mysterio and Eddie, perhaps?
Yeah, I'd like it to settle down a bit first.
Oh yeah, for sure. In the beginning.
Well, Mysterio isn't coming in until July anyway, so...
Who's the team that beats the Hardys and ends the streak of the Hardy Boys?
I think Team Angle do that.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing, Hart and Benjamin.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to give them a shot in the arm straight out the gate, give them some credibility. That combined with the association with Angle, if we still go down that route, does it perfectly for me.
Maybe give Jeff a bit of a reason to go after the world title, perhaps, as a one-month thing.
And Matt on the other side as well.
No, Matt's not getting a run.
Matt won't get a run, but Matt will want to get a run. His character will be like, I want to go after... But he just fails.
Yeah, he fails, but Jeff might actually have a chance, but until failing in the end. And for the World Championship, we've already discussed, Triple H is going to hold it until Backlash. Kurt Angle is going to take it. The Rock will then take it from him at No Way Out before Brock Lesnar takes it from him at WrestleMania 19, as we currently have it. Lesnar's trajectory is to kill folks as a free agent in the interim.
And lots of them.
Lots of them.
Brock Lesnar's trajectory is to be the fucking man.
And hopefully he will be. He's going to kill Hogan. He's going to win King of the Ring still.
All part of the ascension.
What about beating Hogan in the finals of King of the Ring and killing him then? Hogan, because this is where you get Hogan away from the belts, but this is Hogan's one last run idea that I'm going to go for this, brother.
I've never won the King of the Ring.
I'm going to try and prove that I can still do it, and then he comes face to face with Brock, and Brock just fucking murderizes him.
I don't know. See, because to do that on the way, you're going to probably give some Hogan some wins that I probably wouldn't be happy with, and I'd see more money in a more of a focus on that match as opposed to it being the final of the
tournament final.
If you wanted to,
I think more money in a focus on the program. Yeah, I think maybe, but wins King of the Ring, Hogan in July, Austin at SummerSlam, kills Rock the next night, Path of Destruction all the way until Rock returns.
Yeah, and I just don't want Hogan in the ring that much either. And beating guys, nah.
Brock's in the great position where he can flip flop against a lot of different guys as a free agent. We keep him in that role until he finally wins the title and maintains that same position. So there you go, fantastic. Anything to add in terms of, obviously, like we said, Triple H is going to turn heel on Shawn Michaels. Shawn will beat him at SummerSlam in our little world, and then get scooped by Flair. Shawn goes to SmackDown. Triple H has to do everything he can to try and get that match one-on-one, and maybe you can do some kind of it's the first interpromotional match at WrestleMania, the rematch.
Bearing in mind we're saying that Angle holds the belt till No Way Out, where he loses it to Rock.
Yeah,
you could do Shawn Angle at the Rumble.
Yeah,
Triple H costs him. That's how you get him to agree to the match, and then you've got the build towards Mania and the sort of six to eight weeks, however long it is, depending on where Mania falls in the calendar, to properly go hard for that build, having sort of done a slow burn from August.
Alrighty, we've pretty much tackled the gist of what we're looking at here. So how's everybody feeling about the way this has kind of shaken out over the past couple of hours?
Looking at the roster, I think it's going to be difficult to find anything, especially when you're doing it by committee, that you think this is perfect, it's all singing, all dancing, it's exactly what we want. I think the big positive is, I think we've done a damn good job, if I do say so myself, on balancing the rosters much better than they did. I think we've got, whilst I think SmackDown is still clearly the more, predominantly more sort of the in-ring aspect, and it's more of the workhorses show, if you like, I think there's a little bit more on the Raw side than we got from that draft, when you consider that, like we've said about the main guys on Raw in the real world at the time, when you're looking at Big Show, Austin, you know, Kane, the NWO, all you really had on the workhorse side initially was Van Damme and the returning Eddie Guerrero. So I think we've done
Didn't click that well together as well, ironically enough.
So I think we've done a better job of balancing the roster. And I think, for me, as a base to start from, I think it's far superior to what they did.
Yeah, I think we got some interesting kind of combinations here kind of going forwards. I mean, SmackDown, if we do lose Nash and Hall and X-Pac, the heel side of SmackDown does kind of heavily rely upon Jericho and Eddie Guerrero, which I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all, but I'm just saying in terms of numbers, there's always a certain Scott Steiner who's on the peripheral of whether you want to sign him or not, because he did come in November.
That's the work rate.
Yeah. I was going to say, I see no value to bringing Steiner aboard, and quite honestly, we don't have grand plans for the way we were looking at it. We don't have grand plans for the NWO or them as a trio anyway.
No, just using to get Edge over in those first few weeks.
So I don't think it's going to be a loss to our overall plans, and like Liam said, I'm not going to shed a tear over putting more of the focus on Jericho and Guerrero.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, after Jericho, if we can rehab Jericho a little bit, which is going to be tricky in its own right, I think, but Guerrero coming in and immediately winning the belt, propelling him to one of the main guys on the show immediately, I think that's an extremely valuable tool.
And you've also got Kurt and Lesnar, who can both be on the show as well.
So. Exactly. So there's a lot of strength there. So It's looking promising. Obviously, if this was a 10-hour session, we could hammer out all the Raws, SmackDowns and all that stuff. But unfortunately, time is being called here on this episode, so we hope you enjoyed it. We took a lot of ideas. I think we've done an admirable job. Please tell us if you think differently. We always love hearing your feedback, and you can, of course, as we've mentioned before, like us on Facebook and let us know what you think of this show. So that's facebook.com/scgradio, or you can drop us a line at scgradio@hotmail.com. Thank you very much for your feedback. We got to quite a lot of it. Had to disqualify some because it wasn't within the parameters that we set. So for those of you who mentioned Goldberg coming in, or not turning Hogan babyface, things of that nature, or not killing WCW off, we've unfortunately had to kind of rule those ones out this week. So our apologies if we didn't get to your feedback this week. We are out of time. We will be returning next week, however, for a show that I'm very much looking forward to, now that we've kind of just winged this off air shortly before the most hated world title run in history, your most hated world championship run in history. We're going to talk about them next week. This is going to be good. We're going to have obviously there's so many to talk about in terms of the reigns themselves, not just the worst champions, the reigns themselves. A key distinction, your most hated world title run in history. You can, of course, leave your feedback on the Squared Circle Gazette Radio Facebook page, or drop us a line at scgradio@hotmail.com, of course. So that's going to be a fun one for next week. So, for Kieran O'Rourke.
It's been a pleasure.
For Old Man Jones.
At Old Man Jones 85, would have cooked Kane if you had the chance.
And for G. John Chase.
Hold on a sec, so if Goldberg comes in the day after WrestleMania 19, then surely we'll just build up to a Brock Goldberg at WrestleMania 20. Nothing could go wrong there.
I am Liam O'Rourke, and we are out of here.